United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credit.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! And we will get to you and see what's going on with you. I forgot to turn on the chat room. Oh, well.
Well, they'll come up here pretty quick. We'll have some people come.
Well, I got a local call on there. Local caller, you are in the air. Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Local call. You just called in to the Spitzwort. Okay. Call me back. We're waiting on you.
See you later.
We're waiting for you.
Hey, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
I figured out what President Obama's favorite hymn is.
What's that?
I Surrender All.
Oh, that was fairly sick.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah, that was good, wasn't it?
I think that was real good. I got to give it to you on that one, man. That was really a good one.
Just compare and contrast how different presidents deal with the Russians. You know,
mm-hmm.
John F. Kennedy created an embargo during the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
You had LBJ, like it or not, was trying to beat communism back in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Carter failed miserably.
Oh my God.
Bill Clinton didn't have to deal with it because his predecessor, Ronald Reagan, stood up in Germany and said, tear down this wall.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got Barack Obama giving the Russians back everything that they had before the wall came down.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do with that
and
one?
Somehow people on the other side think we're going to have a safer world now. How's that working?
Well, this is what they were going to do. And this is what he's doing. And he's got the world in a flux. He just told Israel that they have to give back the Temple Mount and the West Bank for there to be separate states, and that to have a separate state for Israel is now no longer necessarily a part of the peace deal.
Oh. Do you know how Israel spells never again?
Nuclear weapons.
N-U-K-E, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the way to go.
You know, I'm sorry. When I'm getting to the point where I think Israel needs to tell the entire Arab world, you know, either go away or we're going to kill them all, let God sort them out.
Well, that's what they're hoping for, to tell you the truth. And not Israel, but that's what when OPEC was created, we have that Mr. Henry Kissinger.
The
New World Order. We've got him thing together with the tensions all the time to follow the Albert Pike Three World Wars prophecy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Third World War, which they're saying now, will be between the Zionists and the Arabs. And when they do that, then they think that they'll all wipe themselves out, and then the West will have full carte blanche to everything over there, and the West will begin to produce oil and remain the oil dollar, okay, the petrol dollar. That's what their hope for everything is. So,
I mean, but we don't need a war for that. That's what drives me crazy about it.
Well, you want a war. Don't forget, these are the progressives.
That's right.
They want to wipe people out.
Oh, yeah. There's too many people on a planet.
Too many people. So
especially in Africa.
Especially in Africa.
Especially like in Africa. There are way too many people in Africa.
Yeah, and that's what Al Gore says.
Yeah.
I like that, you know. And I'd like to hear from my African American friends out there to say, you know, that agree with Al Gore now. I want to see whether this happens.
The entire continent of Africa or China.
There's too many people.
Who's putting more garbage in the air?
The Africans are. There's more of them. Oh, in the air. Well,
in
China. China's not going to mess around
China's
with these people.
China's putting more crap in the air than anybody else on the planet. But you don't hear Al Gore talking about wiping out 50 million Chinese.
Well, thank God for right now, his carbon exchange in Chicago is dead.
Oh, Well, let's hope it stays that way.
Yeah, let's hope it stays that way. But you saw these idiots on the floor last night. The information is in, and everything is, and you know it's climate change going on, and blah, 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 blah.
I pulled that up this morning. I put it on your web on your Facebook thing. There was more methane and more CO2 in the air during the last ice age than there is now. So how's that working for you?
Well, they'll of course tell you, well, that's what ended the ice age.
But it was suspended in the ice. Because they're taking ice cores. That's how they found out. They're taking ice cores and they're finding it out. You know, it's just, I'm telling you, Jeff, this whole climate change thing is just a bunch of eggheads saying we will be God. That's what it boils down to.
Right.
That's what it boils down to, is we will be God, and the human race, which really isn't a popcorn fart on the planet, can make all these changes, and we can't, short of turning loose nuclear weapons.
Yeah, if you do.
We can screw things up locally here and there, but you can't make the entire planet uninhabitable short of nuclear weapons. You know, if Russia and the United States would turn loose all our nuclear weapons at one time, yeah, then we
it's
could
a
end.
Possibility.
We could end life as we know it.
Yeah, and that's what you have to look at.
But when one volcano blows up, puts more garbage in the air, and creates several years of winter, of years without a summer. It happened in the 1860s.
Right.
You had, was it Mount Pinatubo, I think, blew up. And they had like 3 years, they had no summer. And here in Ohio, there's records of snow on the 4th of July.
Right. I don't know. I just think people are very, very misguided in looking at things a certain way, because they listen to what people tell them instead of looking at what I would say empirical evidence.
They don't reason.
They don't reason? I don't understand why people don't reason.
Well, they've taught us not to reason. I mean, you've basically got 100 years of people, products of a public school system that's told you, you have to listen to the experts.
Right.
Because these people come down on high, you know, they're like the priests of the old Catholic Church, of the medieval Catholic Church, you know. They come down on high, and you're obviously not intelligent enough to understand what they're all powerful and all knowing has been told.
Right. As I'm cleaning up stuff over here. Yeah,
up from breakfast.
Yes. I'm still cleaning up stuff because this stupid thing over here is not acting right either.
Who do we got over there? We got somebody over there.
And nobody's asking
nobody
to talk yet.
One. Okay.
Yeah, but you know, they like to sit and listen and make remarks in the thing to say sound as stupid as ever, of course. But
call us up, man.
That's what I got to say.
You know, it makes for boring. It makes for boring radio when you got two guys that agree with each other talking back and forth. So if you disagree with us, call in because
not necessarily.
That's what makes for good radio.
Not necessarily, but you know, it's a good thing. I'm answering something from something I said last night.
Okay. You know, we got this. You know, we got this Ukraine thing going on, and we don't know what we ain't going to do anything with that because we can't afford to. We don't have the cash. And Europe's not going to do anything about it either because they get 80% of their energy from Russia.
Right. So what are they going to do?
And then John Boehner. I don't know if this man is that ignorant, or if he thinks everybody else is that ignorant, because he was saying how we need to start shipping natural gas to Europe, and we don't have. It takes 10 years. To create the infrastructure to transport liquefied natural gas to Europe. We don't have the ships. They don't have, and they don't, even if we had the ships, they don't have the receiving facilities.
Yeah, see, not only, and that is true, they don't have the infrastructure to deal with it. They only have that infrastructure, which they should have been dealing with a long time ago,
well,
but didn't.
The thing is, I firmly believe in the theory of abiotic oil. I mean, I think you can drill any place on the planet and get oil and natural gas.
I do, too.
You just got to drill for it deep enough.
I didn't think that before, but yes, sir, I do believe that now.
If you want
to
look.
And that's since you came in and last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, and the thing is, you keep hearing this fossil fuel thing, and everybody talks about science. Well, the abiotic oil has been duplicated in a laboratory. The fossil fuel thing never has. They've never been able to do that. So if you can duplicate one in a laboratory and you can't duplicate the other in a laboratory, I'd say there's more evidence in the abiotic oil theory than in the fossil fuel theory.
Right.
You know, it just goes that way.
Yeah. You know, here it is, too.
Do you depend on your computer?
Oh, it's break time.
You
break time.
That
we'll be right back.
A virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Michael Savage. I'm opposed to revolution because nobody wins. However, you have to fight a tyrannical government virtually at the same level that they're imposing their tyranny on you. We don't want Syria. We don't want 70,000 or 700,000 dead. We don't want a civil war in America. We don't want to see one-fourth of the male population wiped out in a civil war. Ever.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600. We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
You got your boots on for this one, man.
Yeah, I got my boots on.
That's the kicker. That's the kicker song right there. That's all right. Anyway, good morning. Good morning. Morning to Tracy and Friends. It's here on your dial on WSOM 600 AM and on WSOM on your iHeartRadio dial as well as Tracy and Friends and Blog Talk Radio. You can catch us all over the world. And we're talking about all the things that happened. We had the people in Congress last night up there touting their global warming stuff. And so, therefore, we got all of that stuff going, and we want to know whether they're going to now try to force legislation to do something about climate change. But we have a local caller that called in. Local caller, you're in the air.
Would that be me, Jeff?
Yes, that'd be you.
Hey, Jeff, a couple of questions. I'm not necessarily going to jump in on this subject, but several times you guys mentioned about the chat room, and I have yet to figure out how do we find the chat room.
You have to go to Blog Talk Radio and sign up for Blog Talk Radio to get in the chat room.
Okay. And other than that, is there any other forms of communication that you guys keep an eye on during your broadcast?
Facebook, and you know, it's at Tracy and Friends on Facebook.
Tracy Winbush.
Yeah.
It's Tracy Winbush on
Facebook. Tracy Winbush on Facebook. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, so she has a different Facebook for the show.
No. She just got one. We don't have a Facebook page for the show yet.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. That's something we have to do.
Just at Tracy Winbush.
I follow you and Tracy on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And make comments periodically. I'm a pot stirrer on your side of the fence.
Well, you don't have to tell. Go ahead.
This is Bob.
Okay, Bob.
Yeah. And anyway, I just wanted to find out how to do the blog thing so that I could perhaps get into one of the chat rooms and talk with the guys over there periodically when you guys go on break.
Yes, that would be great.
More the merrier.
You go to blogtalkradio.com, and they'll walk you through how to sign up. You have to sign up like you're going to have your own show, but it doesn't cost you anything because you don't have to have your own show. And
right.
you'll see that as you go through.
Right. I know this is somewhat off topic, but I was reading real early this morning. I'm a real early riser, and I was looking on your Facebook, and I can't quite figure why you threw several of those very large biblical quotes out there. Was there something going on?
Well, yeah, because I was answering some of the evolutionists and a couple of the people from the university that kicked in on something from early about 2 weeks ago on Facebook, where they challenged me to believe in evolution and tried to say that all of us have troglodyte blood in us and this, that, and other. And they're incorrect about
what's a troglodyte?
Well, a troglodyte is one of the what do you call them? Not troglodytes necessarily. What were the
Neanderthals?
Neanderthals. Okay, Neanderthals. These people tried to say that black people were hairy and they lived in the woods, but then one day they decided to leave the woods and go out into the plains. So when they moved out into the plains, the sun was hot on them. They didn't need that hair anywhere to keep warm. Why the hell you would need hair in the jungle to keep warm, I don't know, because it's warm and moist in the jungle, and now it's dry and hot. So I guess they had to get rid of their hair then.
But
go ahead.
Aren't Eskimos hairy?
Not hairy.
Not hairy human beings?
Italians? That's what I used, and I said, well, a lot of Italians are very hairy, and they live in a very moderately global thing. So anyway, so they're telling me all of this stuff, and I told them, well, I'm not from any of that, and I wasn't made from monkey blood or anything like that, and so I had to give them a little bit of the story of creation, because, see, they think you're a fool for believing that the earth is 10,000 years old, because it isn't. There's no way that it is, and the thing is people...
Says who?
Huh?
Says
history. Now here, it says history. I'm going to give you a for instance, which is what I gave them yesterday. You have the first day of creation that says, let there be light. What light was that? How long did it take God to separate the lightness from the darkness?
And 24 hours.
No, it wasn't 24 hours because you didn't have no sun or moon yet.
That wasn't the light he was referring to. That was the light in the heavenlies, which is emanating from God himself.
I thank you. So once again, how long did the first day take? You want to make
24 hours.
That's ridiculous because you didn't have anything to measure.
Not.
You know why? Okay, now you don't want to know why it's ridiculous?
I'm a short earth believer.
Well,
and
that's good.
Jeff, if it was not 24 hours, then you have to explain to me how do we get a seven-day
easy. Okay, because the seven-day week is a principle of God's. It's not a thing of time, because guess what? God is not in time.
Then why did he say in 6 days the earth was created, and then on the seventh day God rested, and that's why he mandates that God takes a day, or men take a day off.
In 6 days of God time, God rested. Not in your time. God doesn't have time.
No. I'm sorry. Listen, I'm a Bible believer. I'm in the midst right now of a very deep theological study of Genesis 1:1 through Genesis 31, I believe it is.
Okay.
I am a New Earth believer. I have a doctor of science.
I am a New Earth believer too, but I need
you to come to Old North Church on Sunday morning at 9:30 and join us, my friend. We're having an amazing study.
You know what? Some friends of mine go there from a lady that was working with my wife. We've been invited, but I'm on staff at my church, and I can't. If you had a night Bible study or something, I would love to come because you know
all
what
right,
that. That,
you
that
know,
listen,
I'm gonna,
yeah.
I'm gonna keep you on that, my friend, because you are definitely invited with open arms.
Uh-huh.
And you tell Pastor Frank to let you go for a couple of Sundays, all right?
you talk to him.
I'll see if he releases me. I will go by the church today, and I will say, listen, Pastor Frank, we got to have Jeff over here at Old North for 6 weeks, and then you can have him back.
Yeah, because, see, I can't tell you that he believes what I believe. But, see, my Bible study over all the years, it doesn't make sense because, you know, I can prove that there's a part of an evolution as well, and that is that all of the things – that were on earth were made before they appeared. So that means God made all the plants and the trees and all that stuff, and they were in the earth. How long did it take them to come out? And we're assuming 24-hour period when we didn't have a 24-hour period measurement until the fourth day of creation. It doesn't make sense. So that's what I'm telling you.
Faith has to kick in.
No, sir. It does not, because you have to have reality kick in, and you have to have scientific thought on this, because think about it.
That's where you need to talk to Dr. McGowan, because he has studied this.
Mm-hmm.
And he will amaze you, and he backs everything up biblically. We just had this discussion on Sunday, and I apologize, I'm not better
at okay.
reading it.
That's okay.
But, you know, either way, and, you know, the thing is, if as a Christian, everything that we want to tell other people that we believe
mm-hmm.
has to be backed up, then you're going to have to figure out how do you back up the Trinity, how do you back up the rapture. None of that stuff is provable, okay, but we believe it.
I understand.
You follow me?
Yeah.
That's where, and I'm not saying stupid blind faith like the evolutionists have, but blind faith based on the things that are observable.
What are you doing over there, Jeffrey?
Hmm?
What are you doing over there? You stopped talking mid-sentence.
No, I was letting he cut in, so I wanted to hear what he had to say. But no, it's all good, Bob, and I appreciate this, because we can't do this on here, because there's too many people secularly that
don't understand
and can't grasp it, so we kind of lose them here. But
you and I got to do coffee someday, then.
Let's do that.
Castle, my brother,
do that, please. And if you're on my Facebook, I'm going to put my number up there a couple times so you can grab it, okay?
Thank you so much. You guys have a great day. I got work to do, but I will be listening.
All right, my friend. Thank you for listening. God bless. Okay, now, so first call of the day, and I'm in trouble already. Oh, man. Okay, well, I will be fired next week as soon as Tracy gets back, but it's okay. We didn't stay on it too long. 626, you're in the air. You are in the air. That you, Covina man? If it is, we can't hear you.
I have myself muted.
Okay.
Yeah, I was muted while you guys were talking. I think that last conversation that you had with the guy, you can basically tie it into what you and I didn't catch who your guest was today or your co-host was, but you guys were talking about the climate change. And I think that it's really not a science versus science discussion. We're a bunch of scientists sitting at the table and looking over some evidence and going at it and comparing charts and graphs and information. It's really a science versus religion debate. Like, the people that believe in science have a particular belief, and the people that have a certain religious doctrine, like, you know, between you two, you and the previous guy, you know, you guys are both of the same faith and read the same Bible and completely different disagree on what the heck's going on. And then you got to take that type of religious dedication to your doctrine, and then you sit down with a scientist guy who's got charts and reviews and stuff, and you say, well, my faith and my Bible says this, and then another guy says, well, I'm looking at some charts and graphs, and it says that, and then there's your argument. And then how you gonna compare religion and a doctrine when people can't even agree on Genesis 1:1? That it's just right there. You got disagreement. Yes. And people ready to go, go to war against each other. And
well,
then
I'm not going to war. I'm not going to war for what I believe.
No, not you two. But I'm saying, but some people do. I mean,
yeah,
because
they're crazy.
You two had a good discussion, disagreement. I'm just talking about in general. You have people with religion that can't agree on Genesis 1:1 and go to war over it. And then they go sit down with a scientist and try to say, well, your graphs, I don't like them because God said this.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing when it comes to this, though. You can't deny information that you've dug up from the ground. You can't deny the things that you see right before you. The Smithsonian has confiscated almost all of the evidence of the giants that they could find. But see, a lot of other countries have their evidence of the giants being real, which supports what the Bible says. And when the Bible tells you that there were giants on the earth, and your regular science does not tell you that, but yet you have empirical evidence that it was, what are you to believe? What are you to think?
They found skeletons.
They found full skeletons. And so now all the stories about giants in the past that we've been saying are fairy tales are not fairy tales. And that's how they try to discount the Bible.
I mean, that's the thing that people refuse to admit, that all legend are based in some fact.
Mm-hmm.
The global flood, the Genesis flood, people say never happened, but yet every ancient society on the planet has a story of a global flood with only one family being spared.
And we're going to go to break on that because I'm going to follow this clock today. We'll be right back.
Happening at 2:30 a.m. yesterday morning. The others were 2.6, 2.4, and 2.2 magnitude. The Ohio Department of Natural Resources says the quakes are not connected to the gas injection activities in the area. But just as a precaution, the oil and gas operator working on a site there has been ordered to stop working until more tests can be done. The state Supreme Court will hear arguments in a case today involving a man convicted of raping and murdering a YSU student back in 1985. Benny Adams claims there were constitutional violations during his trial. And the former superintendent of the Mahoning County Board of Developmental Disabilities has walked away from his position with 6 months' pay, 6 months' health insurance, and more, for a total of more than $111,000. Larry Duck held the job for 13 years, but was let go after an ethics investigation. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
The new health care law, I've got to tell you, I'm confused.
I'm not. In fact, I've got it all straightened out.
How?
The Chase Agency and Medical Mutual.
The Chase Agency and Medical Mutual?
Yep. Just think of them as healthcare law experts. They made it easy for me to navigate through all the red tape and get everything taken care of on time.
I better get a hold of them now before that tax penalty hits me.
And there's nothing worse than a tax penalty.
Call the Chase Agency now at 330-726-3300 before time runs out.
The St. Patrick's Day sale is going on all this month at Harbor Pet Center in Boardman. From puppies and kittens to birds and exotics, they're all on sale. Harbor Pet Center is dedicated to matching the right pet to you with pet counselors that are devoted to helping you bond with your new friend. Stop into Market Street in Boardman for the huge Harbor Pet Center St. Patrick's Pet Sale going on now. There's money-saving offers on cats, birds, small animals, reptiles, and amphibians, pet food and supplies, and much more. Available now at Harbor Pet Center in Boardman. Visit harborpetcenter.com for money-saving coupons. Get $100 off any puppy, a free parakeet with the purchase of any cage, and $10 off a purchase of $40 or more. Some restrictions apply. See store for details. Call 330-758-4950. Harbor Pet Center, 7338 Market Street in Boardman. Behind Five Guys. Open daily, 10 till 9, Sunday, noon till 6. Harbor Pet Center. We've got the pets.
The Cumulus Health Club and Vlad Pediatrics present today's health tip.
Whether you're a new parent or a seasoned veteran, Dr. John Vlad and his team know you might have many questions about infant and toddler health. Which vaccines does your child need? What's the best way to take your child's temperature? What should you expect at well child exams? What are the latest developments in infant and toddler health? The more you know about infant and toddler health, the more comfortable you'll feel caring for your child. Start by sharing your questions about infant and toddler health. Remember, nothing is too trivial when it comes to your child's health or your peace of mind.
This health tip has been brought to you by the caring doctors at Vlad Pediatrics. From preventative care to illness, you can trust Vlad Pediatrics with your family's care. Now accepting new patients at 330-841-7337. Vlad Pediatrics, Elm Road in Cortland. More tips and info online at vladpediatrics.com.
1-800-530-WSOM. Or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
And we're back once again, Mornings with Tracy and Friends, Jeff and Sticks in the air chair, talking to you, what's on your mind. I didn't want to hold you up, Kavin. I want you to come on back in and make your point some more because I didn't give you enough time there.
I thought I had made my point. I was just saying that, you know, with the climate change, I don't like you guys are not believing in the climate change and the things going on. And so I take that as, you know, that's your religious belief.
It has nothing to do with my religion. Nothing to do with it. It's common sense. It's a stupidity to the nth degree, and this is why. First of all, does nobody really know that we have Al Gore sitting in the wings that created a carbon exchange already that have all the major Democrat players in it? And guess what they're going to do? They're going to trade carbon to the tune of the first year business, $11 freaking trillion a year. That'll fund a whole hell of a lot of Democrat people's campaign. So now, no, I am not thinking about this on a religious basis. I'm telling you that throughout historical society, when I see a lake down the street from me that's called Lake Glacier, and they know that the whole valley there used to be under permafrost, and that Lake Glacier is a lake now versus being frozen over all the time, that we know the climate changes. You're not doing a doggone thing to affect it. It is a doing it thing to itself. Now, if you're talking about polluting, then let's talk about pollution, because that's what all the big nations are doing, that at least you need to try to see what happens if you get them to use what we have done here in this country to minimize not only greenhouse gases, but also pollution. So now, when you get to that point, then you'll talk to me and tell me the earth is still warming, and then don't tell me you haven't seen any global warming for 14 years, 15 years, but when it starts again, it's going to move faster, like you know. That's why, because it's stupidity. They don't have enough years of taking temperature to know how far the earth fluctuates from one century to another in many cases. I don't think they had thermometers in the Dark Ages or before.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
There was ice ages, right?
Evidently not.
Because wait a minute. If we want to go with the evolutionist thing, let's just go down that highway for a minute. They're telling me that the entire world during the time of the dinosaurs was a tropical paradise. Was there any, according to them, was there any humans on the planet then?
Yeah, those humans.
No, according to them, the Darwinists.
No, they're just troglodytes and Neanderthals and...
Yeah, when the dinosaurs...
There's no humans.
So the Earth was a tropical paradise, very warm, when the dinosaurs was here.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had an ice age. Was there any humans when there was ice age? According to them.
I don't know, because it doesn't make sense. It's so
stupid.
They're saying no. They're saying no, okay.
So if you went from tropical paradise to ice age... to where we're at today, without any humans, how can humans have anything to do with the climate?
Those doggone dinosaurs in their factories.
Dinosaur farts.
Dinosaur factories.
Oh, factories.
They had factories.
Oh, okay.
They built
they had SUVs?
The dinosaurs built the freaking pyramids. What are you talking about?
Oh, I didn't know that.
How do you think they can move those stones so far and set them up on top of that as tall as those things are?
Okay.
Had to be the dinosaurs.
Okay, well, I didn't know that.
Okay.
I learned something today. See,
that's my argument.
See, what you guys are showing is the futility of scientists trying to have a conversation with you guys. I'm not a scientist. I'm just saying I'm trying to do it because I'm just giving an example. There's no point. It would be absolutely zero point for a scientist to sit down and try to talk to you guys. You guys are wedded to your religious belief. Just because you say that doesn't mean it's true. I'm saying that your whole belief is wedded to your religious dedication to your Republican Party everything that you guys do.
No, Kavita,
nothing
man.
To
what
do.
I just
let me say, why would a scientist have a conversation with you? It makes zero point. Zero sense.
Come in a minute. Hold on a second. Didn't I just lay out to you what the Darwinists' theory is? Their theory is that there was a period where there were dinosaurs and the entire planet was was tropical. Then there was an ice age. Before there were human beings.
Yeah.
So you can't have it both ways. Human activity cannot change the climate if you had these huge climate changes before you had human beings.
You can't have it both ways.
It's one way or the other.
If I would bite on your hook and say I'm going to have a discussion about climate change that happened over millions of years,
compared to what somebody said the last like 20 or 12 years. I would say, fine, of a million years, maybe the climate could change from an ice age to something. Over a million or 2 million years when they start talking about the dinosaurs. This is not like from 1960 to 2014 okay. We had a change in X, Y, and Z. We're okay. not talking about a millions of years. If it was millions okay. of years, it wouldn't be an issue.
So if they're right, why are the Great Lakes frozen over this year for the first time in the last 50? And why is the polar ice cap getting larger? And why has the polar bear population increased?
If they're dying because their habitat is so
melting.
Yeah, it's melting. This is ridiculous, and it's asinine.
Yeah.
And you can't
yeah,
see
right.
if you can't see
right.
the impetus.
I agree with you. It's ridiculous for you to talk to a scientist about anything. It's
let the scientists come on.
It doesn't make a difference.
You know why? Because I'm smart enough to watch a jump that they have to make something real. I just asked one in the chat room, when did man, the evolutionary man, develop consciousness? This is so asininely stupid. When did he develop a conscious? And why would he even develop it? If the strongest are the ones that are surviving only, then why do we have so many doggone weak people right now? Why do we have weak and sickly people? This is stupid.
Right,
asinine.
Yeah, okay.
It does not work.
I would agree.
Or
but with, okay, this is where we could agree. We don't have to agree on the outcome, but we could at least agree on it doesn't make no sense for you and a scientist to sit down and talk about this discussion because you guys are on a completely different planet.
Let me finish this with this guy. Okay. You don't know nothing about me, first of all. You don't know who I study with. You don't know what schooling I've done and what I continue to do daily in my learning, listening to scientists and going through different studies and things like that to find out the truth because I want to know the truth. Now, stupid or not, that's what I dedicate my life to. Has nothing to do with my religious or my religious beliefs, except that the start of some of the information of what I was hearing, I needed to say, if I believe this Bible, I want to know why I believe it. And I'm going to study it to find out why I believe it. And what I found was quite amazing. Everything fits what God said, and very little of it fits what the scientists said.
Okay,
so
You just proved my point.
Okay, but I'm just telling you. That's
right,
how
I just
started
saying,
out on the journey.
Point, right?
I did not prove your point because guess what? Scientists are the ones that pointed me to the truth of the Bible.
Okay,
not faith people.
I'm not arguing that part. Yes, I'm listening.
But Kavina, man, are you aware that 48% of the members of the American Meteorological Society don't believe in man-made global climate change? Are you aware of that?
Restate because you lost me with some nonsense.
48% of the members of the American Meteorological Society, those are the climate scientists in the United States of America, do not believe in man-made climate change. Almost half. Were you aware of that?
I am not aware, and neither does it matter to the conversation. Does it matter anything?
Yes, because you said that we can't talk to a scientist because we disagree with them. And we don't disagree with
I'm saying what Jeff just proved, if you just listen to what Jeff has said he studied such and such in order to prove his Bible. So he's sitting there.
I didn't tell you that.
Okay, maybe I summarized it wrong.
You sure did, because there's a big difference.
Okay.
I said, I wanted to find out if what I was believing in was the truth or not. Because when I met Jesus, I knew I met something different and something changed inside of me. But I didn't know about all of, can I finish? I didn't know about all the rest of this book and the things that it said. And so I went on a quest, because it's been over 30 years, a quest to find out the truth. And in my quest for finding out the truth, I studied a whole lot of things, Covina, man.
Okay.
I love quantum physics. I love getting into science and seeing the whole of this earth. I get into zoology and understand something. It, further, when you see the specifics with which a certain animal has to act to survive, you'd be a fool to think that, that something could just evolve to that point. And like I said, at the very least, if you don't believe in a God, you'd have to say, well, somebody seeded us and planted us here with a delicate balance. I mean, a very strong balance of our bodies have to do the same thing every day, or else we melt down because we have acid in them, or we're electricity and we would just short circuit and burn up. And there are cases of spontaneous combustion of the human body, in case you didn't know that. The thing is those are things that you have to pay attention to. So what I'm saying is some things these scientists are saying is foolishness, because they can only go so far because they can only test so many things. And a scientist gets his theory from testing something and getting the result of what he sees. That's how he figures out what is and what isn't. He doesn't know, really. And he doesn't know whether he's getting a false positive about certain things. Go ahead.
Well, and how do these scientists know that this is the optimum temperature for the planet? You know, I mean, you've been taking the temperature for 150 years or so, and it's actually been getting colder for the last few. So there is no evidence that I have read that shows human beings have anything to do with this.
150 years, 200, let's say 200 freaking years of temperature taking in records. And your first ones, you know, weren't very good because you know that those things weren't...
Yeah, the instruments they had weren't
were crude. Now, right, even if it was... Yeah, go ahead, sir.
So I don't have to misquote you. Let's just cut and paste everything you just said. Just cut and paste it. Just put it in there and just say, Jeff believes that, and therefore Jeff's opinion on climate change, on politics, on his favorite brand of Coca-Cola is based on cut and paste what Jeff just said. And therefore, if somebody doesn't believe cut and paste what Jeff just said, there's really no argument because your whole thing is just wedded on what you believe.
Okay, now let's put it like that. And their whole argument is vetted on what?
Let's just say the limitations of what they study. Their belief is based on that limitation. We can agree with that, right?
All right, but Covina, man, let's look at some logic here. 1 + 1 = 2. Let's just look at some logic. 1 + 1 = 2 here. If the largest greenhouse gas being produced on the planet is methane from natural decomposition, how can human beings be changing the climate?
What's your name is? I don't have to keep saying that. Yeah. What's your name?
We'll see you back after the top of the news.
Summarize now for Jeff, or, you know, change the conversation when it comes back. You know, oftentimes they'll have one conversation going into the commercial break and come back and play the happy song and then switch subjects, start talking about something else. We'll see.
He's still like Harlan. I kind of liked him. Eleanor Holmes Martin.
The problem with him was he couldn't decide what he wanted to be. He just stuck his finger up in the air.
Uh-huh.
And he just waited. The way the wind was blowing was party. He decided he wanted to belong.
Right.
He didn't have any core beliefs.
I'm getting ready to bring back Covina, man, because he I know he's going to have to be going to the salt mines pretty soon. And but I appreciate this back-to-back. But I asked you a question, Covina, man. They believe what they believe by their study and what they come to. So why is it crazy for me to believe what I believe?
Okay, I think I got this summarized pretty succinctly. Now, let me see if I can break it down for you. You, based on your belief on a set of tools and instruments, the scientist is basing their belief on a set of tools and instruments. The scientists have limitations of what their tools and instrument can measure. It is limited to whatever there is being invented at the current era. 2014, who knows, in 2019, they might come out with an instrument that shows something, able to measure something, and they could draw a totally different conclusion based upon the scientific evidence, based upon the scientific way that they study science through instruments.
Okay.
And through, right? So they can, it's possible they can come up with something in 5 years that completely could change and rock their world. However, Jeff's belief is based upon a set of instruments called a common sense, something that the scientists don't use. Common sense. They use these tools. These set of tools that's on the table. Jeff uses common sense, which is made up of him studying with certain people, having conversations with Sticks, having conversations with Pastor Dan, having conversation with Tracy, and he developed a tool that he can use that's called common sense. He can take that common sense and apply it. Hold on, let me just finish. He can take that common sense and he can apply it to the weight of gold. He can apply it to the periodic tables. He can apply it to how fast electricity or light moves. He can apply common sense because the tool that he uses is based upon his conversations with Tracy and Sticks or Pastor Dan, or reading of the Bible.
He's talking to me, and I need to answer him. No, that's not what I said whatsoever. What can Tracy and Sticks do for me in the last 2 to 3 years that it took me 30 years to study something? And I am a scientist in a way. I worked for the epidemiology lab. I was a medical lab technologist in Texas. I was trained by the U.S. military. And one thing also, I was trained by my father, who taught me inductive and the other reasoning. You have to reason your way through it. That is the number one rule of science. That's why science uses as many instruments as men has created to come to a conclusion on something. And the conclusion can be correct, and the conclusion can be incorrect. But they'll have to go with what they go because it's their instrument of measure. Now, I have not only instruments of measure that I depend on, but I also have a historical book that says things that the scientists have proven over and over and over and over and over again. God is light, therefore he's eternal. We know that God's speed, if God is light, we know that light travels at 186,000 miles per second. And if you, Covina Man, could travel at 186,000 miles per second, guess what? You would never die. You'd be eternal. You would not die. So how does that differ when God says, I am light? Not I am the light. Jesus was the light of the world. But God is light. So how does that differ, my friend? And why is that stupid for me to believe?
Whether or not you believe it, something is not stupid. I'm not saying it's stupid. What I'm trying to identify is where you're basing different arguments that you're trying to
science.
Try, you're trying to
All
argue.
Of it is based on science.
Right, but your science
is based on something that you had said earlier, which is based on some common sense, but it's not something that a scientist can go into a lab and
create. No, I didn't tell you anything about conversations.
I wish you could come see my library. That's not what he said.
I wish you could come see my library.
Jeff's opinion, like mine, is based on deductive reasoning. We take a set of facts.
Inductive and deductive reasoning.
And we look at those facts, and we come up with an answer. Just like I said, if the largest greenhouse gas is methane from natural decomposition, way more of that is put in the air on the planet than human existence, then how can you say human existence is making the climate change? That is taking a set of facts. That has nothing to do with my religion. That's taking a set of facts and making a deduction. And also you have to look at the greed of man in this global warming thing. Follow the money. There are some very powerful people that stand to make a lot of money off of very poor people if you can get the entire planet to follow this nonsense. Trillions of dollars stand to be made through this carbon tax scheme that the president's pushing forward, which he has admitted will hurt poor people. And the president himself stands to make billions of dollars off of this scheme in Chicago, this carbon exchange program.
Which is why he's pushing like he's pushing to get it done.
So follow the money as well as look at deductive reasoning. It has nothing to do with my religion, nor Jeff's.
At all. It's based on science. It's based on total science. Now, the conclusions come with what somebody wants to prove or disprove or where they want to make money at or not make money at. And that's what's wrong with this. People are going to want to make money on it, so they'll say whatever. He just told you 48% of the scientists don't believe it's man-made. They think that we have some warming here and there. They see the empirical evidence. We're looking at evidence here.
Yeah,
I think
that my summation pretty much was
no, your
accurate.
Summation is absolutely
you guys,
wrong. You want to put me in your box, and I'm not in your box. I'm past your box. Okay? Your box is very small, and it doesn't move very big outside the thing of hollering racism and white supremacy. That's all you know. And I'm not with that, yes. Kavina, man. So, you're coming up.
You're on the other side of it. Yeah, you're on the other side of that.
No, I'm not on the other side of it. Yes, you can. Go ahead, dog.
I don't have a lot of time today, but I'm just going to make some quick statements, and I'll maybe listen for a couple minutes, and then I have to go, Jeff, real quick.
Do your thing.
This is a fact. People with master's degrees, they did a poll. People with master degrees, only 6 of them believe in a deity. When people get PhDs, only 40% of them believe in a deity. The Nobel Peace Prize, some people that write the books of physics, only 7%, when you get up to that level, only 7% of them believe in a deity. Now, I totally understand where you're coming from. What the gentleman's saying, when he's saying common sense, he's saying use logic. And when you use logic, I understand. Look at the telescope. We can look at the telescope. We can measure where Mars, how close Mars is going to be to Earth. But as we go further and further out, it starts becoming like a religion because it becomes theoretical science. There's a limit to our minds, like Jeff said. When you come under the microscope, we can level DNA cells, but if we go under deeper into that structure, it becomes theoretical for as far as physics. So all of this theoretical. So we have to kind of, and what man has been struggling is the theoretical and things that we do know, because we know those experiments in the laboratory on Earth that we can see and measure. That may have some similarities, but we can get so it's always a fight against what we know and what we don't know, the theoretical realm and the real world that's not theoretic, something that we can replicate in facts. So I'm just saying, as you get smarter and smarter, it seems like people loses that deity or someone looking down or that consciousness above us. Having said that, all scientists are not like that. So I'm just saying it's always going to be a battle. We've been trying, you know, trying to solve this since ancient of time. And I'm just saying, I agree with you. Our minds are limited, and I just know, I just try to stay with the facts and go on with my life. But as you said, Jeff, when we get into those two realms, both of the religious and the scientists, they're in theoretical realms, and none is higher than each other. That's all I wanted to say, Jeff.
Well, I can
I think none is higher than each other. That's it.
Okay.
I agree, too.
843 South Carolina, come on in. Okay, we'll bring.
I don't know, but you know, the more educated that you get, the less you become, you know, believing in a deity. But I do know this, and Jeff, you can probably attest to this. If you don't know, if you have no idea what your theology is and what you believe in before you go to seminary, you can really get screwed up.
Yeah, before you go to cemetery, right?
Yeah. The seminaries
are just as secular, and they don't believe so many things. My daughter has been livid with her school because she has it's a Christian college, and the teacher says we're not going to, you know, the Noah's Ark and Jonah, all these stories are all fables, and you know.
Whoa. Christian college.
A evangelical Christian college, which is really something. It's the college that the Gaithers came out of.
Wow.
Thank you. Blew my mind. But she's livid, and I give her ammo, and she's giving her teachers fits.
Well, that's good, because...
Go ahead.
I don't understand how you can have a... I mean, either you believe all the Bible or you believe none of it.
Or you believe none of it. There's no sense in believing it.
Yeah, it's either a fable or it's not.
Precisely my point.
And so, you know, I don't see how people pick and choose what parts of the Bible they like.
No, and it's go ahead.
Well, I do see a lot of people that, I had a Bible teacher when I was a very young man. He said, you read the Bible minimum of a paragraph at a time. You should read an entire chapter to understand the context.
Right.
But you read the Bible a minimum of one paragraph at a time, because the Bible was written in chapters and paragraphs, not chapters and verses.
Yeah, not like the Adam listed, because numbering the system didn't come till about 600-700 years ago.
Right.
Right, so...
So to understand a certain thing, yeah.
Hey, I disagree with you. It was not written in chapters and verses. It was written as letters, and the chapters and verses were put in for context purposes only, as Jeff
pointed
out.
That's what he just said.
Yeah, I said chapters and paragraphs.
But even so, it wasn't. They were written on scrolls as a letter form from the writer to the readers, and the American context of chapters and verses and paragraphs and so forth was interjected during the translation during the 5th and 6th century.
Okay, got you.
America didn't
exist
in the 5th and 6th century.
Well, no, in England.
He's talking King James, translation from the Greek and the Hebrew into the King James.
Which was
actually the second English translation.
Right.
The first English translation was done by...
The Gutenberg?
No, it was...
No.
First English translation was the... I'm having a...
Yeah, don't do that. It'll add to global warming.
I'm having a brain... Yeah, one...
because once Harry saw that first version, he tried to copy it. I forgot the name myself, too. You're right, man.
Yeah.
It was one before that.
Right, and it was illegal. It was absolutely illegal.
People
were drawn and quartered for having them.
Yeah, at that time. And then you had a Catholic church that taught vehemently against science. They thought that anything scientific was wrong, and even though the Bible said that God surveys the circumference of the earth, they were believing that the earth was flat, and so they didn't allow the scientists to say that not only was the earth round, but sun didn't revolve around the earth, but the earth revolved around the sun. They didn't want to believe that. Well, see, that's crazy.
They still got that going on today.
Well, they may.
You
might be right. But the thing is it's not going to be me because like I said, I'm going to take it all because it's just like the 10,000-year-old Earth. I don't believe in the 10,000-year-old. I don't care what they say.
I got a question for you, Jeff.
But, yeah, brother, real quick, have you ever heard of the House of Wisdom from the year 800 A.D. to 1100? Now, it's key about 1100 because that's when the Crusade started. But through that 300-year history, the House of Wisdom in southern Iraq, where Christians, Muslims from all over the country had their instruments, had their library. But when that religious war started in 1100, okay, with the Crusade and stuff, people started going to a religious war. Right. So when they stopped fighting the war, they stopped being scientists because it was a more religious thing. But through that 300-year period, look at all the constellation stars, their Arabic names, right? Once the wars ended, the stars start to become Greek names. So it shows whoever had the power or that war changed a whole lot of science, and what? During that period, science was stagnant for a little while.
Go ahead, Gavino.
If you want to answer him, go ahead. But I had another serious question for you.
Go ahead.
My question is: if you're studying, your religion and your, the people that you hang around, do you ever, if you're studying your religion, do you ever disagree with these white supremacists?
Here's the thing. You're saying white supremacists, and white supremacists don't believe anything too much about the Bible. You have to understand that. White supremacists believe in white supremacy.
I'm talking about it in general.
For the most part,
your conclusions of yours, whether or not they agree with them on the Bible or not, I'm just talking about in general. Do you ever disagree with these people at all?
I disagree with white supremacy, period, Kavina man. But the thing is that's not my battle like you. I don't consume myself with it. Okay, I consume myself with learning the truth about God and about what's going on in the world and watching his plan that he showed me unfold. All you got to do is read his word and you can see just where you're at right now.
Okay, let me re-summarize because maybe I lost you. You ever disagree with Tracy and Friends? You ever disagree with Stick?
Absolutely.
You ever disagree with Matt? You ever disagree with Mark?
Absolutely.
You ever disagree with David Duke? All the people on your side. You ever disagree
with
them?
Absolutely. Wait.
On what?
This
way that you guys disagree.
When did we have David Duke call?
No, we never had David Duke call in. But
he just asked you.
It sounds like he'd be on every other day.
David Duke.
Listen.
Have you ever disagreed with these people?
You listen to this show long enough to know me and Tracy don't agree on everything.
And you know Jeff and I don't agree.
Minor stuff. I'm talking about on political issues. Is it like
political
issues? It's like
Jeff believes wait a minute. Jeff believes that the federal government should give everybody $1,000 in a health savings account. I don't. I would consider that a pretty big political issue.
I do too.
That we disagree on.
I do too.
That's about it. That's what I'm talking about. The thin line between you and Jeff is $1,000. That's about it. Okay.
That's a lot more than $1,000. Well, it proves my point to this that Doc, you need to expand. You need to expand your knowledge base and your learning base because your conclusion base is very small. And it's when you do that, I have a hard time talking to you. I'd love to talk to scientists. I'd love to talk to anybody with an expanded mind and a mind that is thinking about things beyond just a plate of food that sits in front of your face and how you get it each day. I like to think about loftier things and I like to discuss them. Now, whether I'm right or wrong, that remains to be seen in many cases. But the bottom line is I'm a person that has thought that is expansive. I don't care about the white supremacists because
right, okay.
they're not going to stop
right.
me from doing a doggone thing.
Right, yeah, I'm not even taking that away from you.
You understand?
I'm not taking that away from you either. I just said you don't have a lick of difference between you and the rest of them. There's nothing that you believe.
Me and Tracy don't agree on
$1,000.
No, me and Tracy don't agree on a whole lot of things, especially with some of the theories she has and some of the biblical theories she has. And Tracy's an ordained minister. And my point is this. It doesn't matter because we agree on one thing, Christ crucified and him dead,
right.
buried, and resurrected in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's enough.
Right.
That's
I
all,
think
we
that
all, that's
take,
all the three of us need
take,
to have in common.
You probably could take a thousand Tracy and Jeffs, all believing in the same Bible, same Jesus, and everything, and they all ain't going to agree on nothing. I can understand that because the religious people, like I said before, like the dude was saying earlier,
I didn't say nothing.
You guys can't agree on Genesis 1-1. So let's not even go to Genesis 1-2 or change the book. People don't agree on the beginning of it. So I don't even care about the Bible.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, Kavina, man. And we're not going to do this. But it doesn't matter whether we do because we agree on the most important thing, like I said, and that is Christ crucified, him dead and buried. He's the Son of God that paid for our sins, and that is enough for me. 440668.
Right.
440668.
Jeff, may I ask you a question, Jeff? You said the most scariest thing, and really thinks, and I think about it a lot. You said that you were searching for the truth almost 30 years, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying that if you're saying you're searching for the truth, and I respect you for your religion, and I'm not saying that, but I'm just questioning, if you're searching for the truth, if your religion is the truth, why are you still searching, Jeff?
Oh, no, I'm not following. No, understand something. You missed what I said. I'm searching to know the truth. The Bible says with all you're getting, get the understanding. He says, though you sell everything for it, get the understanding. So I'm getting an understanding of the word. I'm getting an understanding of life. And I am safe and secure in the God that I serve because he has shown me a safety in him.
Okay, so you're saying I thought the Bible was the truth and the truth is the word. So you're saying that you can get, you're saying in order to get the truth, you must leave the Bible and get more truths? Or because some people, I'm not saying you, Jeff, but some people saying the Bible is it, that's all we need, and throw it away.
Well,
that's all I'm saying, Jeff. That's
well, listen, hold on. I'm not against you. The Bible doesn't say that. Now, he said that you've been giving all that there is pertaining to life and godliness, but what about the book that the Catholic Church took out? Like the book of Jasher and the book of Enoch, book of Maccabees, and there's another one. These are historic books. They explain everything. They explain everything that even happened, but the church could not have those books in it because then they would not have the control of the people like they did for all these centuries.
So you believe in the two creations of Genesis? Do you believe in the two? Because in those books, they explain why. They talk about male and female from Genesis chapter 26 to 27. Then they switch over, and they explain that it was two life forms. It was male and female, then Adam and Eve. Do you believe that? Because they have other books that say that. But in church, they don't teach us that growing up.
Well,
I mean,
once again, in the church that you know about is controlled totally by the Catholic Church.
Not just me. That we know
I'm
about,
saying
yeah.
The church that you know about was controlled by the Catholic Church, and we're not, like I said, I can't do that. The Catholic Church took things out of the Bible that should not have been taken out at the Nicene Creed conference. And so therefore you had to Nicene conference, excuse me. You have to then when you see these books, you have to take them with a grain of salt. I study. I'm not. I don't just read the Bible. I study the Bible. I take it apart, and so we're not. I want to get into all of this, like I said. But no, I'm not searching for the truth about God. I'm searching for how everything fits, and it all fits. 843, you're still back in.
Well, in your searching, are you going to try to make it fit? That's what I think the gentleman was saying.
Oh yeah, it all fits. It all fits. But this is not my format. This is
well, you
come to my Facebook
page. Research, though,
come to my face. I'll give you all kind of research books. Come to my Facebook page, and I will give you scientific knowledge of what I believe about the Bible, because that's what's important. That's what's important. You got it? You got me? All right. Well,
I just think it's wild that the guy would say that you and Tracy and everybody else on the show walks lockstep. That is crazy. Apparently, he must have missed a lot of shows, because there have been several times where Tracy just told you that I don't agree, and you
absolutely
told her the same thing.
There are a lot of Wednesdays that Tracy and I are screaming at each other.
Yeah, and we don't agree with each other like that, but it's not necessary for us to, and it brings a nice dynamic to the show because, you know, all Republicans are not the same, and neither, and not only that, they're not held to having to be the same. When if you try to disagree with something a Democrat says and believes, you are kicked out the party and you're called all kind of names. Which should show you something. I feel bad for you, Kavina, man. I really do, because you want everybody to be monolithic if they believe something, and people are not monolithic. The Bible says, "Work out your own soul salvation in fear and trembling." I can't answer for everybody else, so I can only answer for what I've learned and studied and what God has showed me. So I can tell you that, but you need to find it out for yourself. Okay, several other callers you can get in. You can chime in, 330-540-440-668. Diva, you ain't said nothing all day. I'm surprised. And so anyway.
Jeff, on this is one thing that Diva agrees with you on.
I'm getting fired now, but go ahead. Go ahead, whoever called Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, Jeff, this is Fort Pearl. Hey, you know, you guys are all talking about the science. I believe in science, too. It's God's science,
absolutely,
not man's science. God's science. Man's science is fallible. I mean, it's changing every day. Now they don't even know if there's black holes. Now they don't know if there's dark matter. They don't know. I believe in God's science. What he shows me, I believe in. And I'm educated. So that
you know what, you know what they came up They came
that
up with
guys,
oh, go ahead.
Yeah. And the other thing too, Jeff, when you're on air like this, you know that he is going to test you. You know that.
Yeah, I watch him.
You know what I'm saying.
Well, may I ask you a question, sir? You said that, you know, God's science, you said the other science has always changed. Let me ask you a question. Has religion evolved like other things evolve over time?
Don't have to. I don't believe in a certain religion.
No,
I have
a
religion,
a
but I believe in Christianity.
I'm not saying what you would be. I'm just asking you a question, because I would never try to change you, sir. I'm just asking
God
you a direct
God
question.
God
no, no,
is
I was just asking you a
God
question.
Okay, let him
God
answer. Let him answer, Baltimore.
I don't think he
God
heard my
is
question.
God. I know what you're saying. God is God.
No, I'm asking you
there
a question.
There's no changing. There's no changing that. There's no changing on what he does, what he stands
God
for, and what he's going to do.
Let me step in. And let me step in, and if you disagree with this.
No, I understand.
Let
me clear my question. Looking at history, has religion in any religion
Well, let them answer.
Hang on, Baltimore. And if you disagree with me, 330, let me know. God is constant. Religion changes.
Exactly.
Can, yep.
Thank you.
And not only that, you have to take in consideration that in two books in the Bible, God told Daniel to shut up the things in the book until the end time. Now, how is Daniel going to release them at the end time? He can't. He's dead and gone. But the information is, you're talking. I'm not done. I'm not even done answering you. So therefore, how you can look at things is different now than what you could 50, 60 years ago, even 100 years ago. Who knew that if there were two people sitting in the streets of Jerusalem dead and the world could look at them all at one time? That couldn't happen 60 years ago. You didn't have 24-hour news cycle. You started getting cameras only at the beginning of this century. So now, how does that make you look at that scripture in Revelation that they've been teaching since the book of Revelation was written? So the point is, we're not, you know, I'm just talking about the theory. The theory of evolution is flawed, but the Bible clearly explains everything that has happened and everything that is going to happen. Clearly.
Well, I'm well-educated, but when you use that word theory, I just keep it in this realm. But let's go back to what she said. She said God doesn't change, but religious changes. Now, with science, well, they're connected to each other. And I'm just saying, within those religions, people look at their gods, and they change, and they worship their gods, and they evolve over time. Like, for instance, look at the Muslims. You have different, first of all, Muslim, their culture was one religion at a time, and look how many different sects. Look at Christianity. It was one. Look at how many different denominations we have.
Okay,
hold on. I'm just saying, I agree. I understand what you're saying.
There's no she here.
But actually, how people look at that, from that God, how they label that God, how they worship that God within their mind, they change and they evolve because it comes from their thoughts. They evolve and they change that God. So you cannot say if a person's religious change, their thought of their God has not changed.
Once again,
all of that has
God
evolve.
Never,
that's my point.
God never changes. He says, I'm a constant. I'm the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And God never changes. You can come to a revelation inside of him that makes you change how you do things and how you administrate your life, which it should do. But he never changed. You just thought something that may not have been true about him. Why did you let Aunt Susie die? Why did, you know, you allow this? God gave man free will over the earth and free will over their bodies. What they do with them is their business, and he's going to judge them for what they do with what he gave them. That's plain and simple. 614, you're in the air.
Yeah. I just wanted to say this is where a true understanding, a right relationship with God comes into play, because once you understand him and get to know him, not what someone else is telling you about him, but get to know him for yourself, all this chaos and confusion,
yep,
these questions – would go away. Because how is it that Jeff and I can vehemently disagree on just about anything else, but in this we know the truth? We could disagree on anything else when it comes to anything that is man-made, man-thought, man-created. But when it comes to this, we both can agree it's absolute truth. Now, there are some instances that we may disagree on, but when it comes to God and knowing him and who he is, him being the creator, we come to a absolute conclusion that that is the truth. And that's why you have to get to know him for yourself. Read the Bible for yourself and take away everything that you have learned or been taught by man. And just take it on your own conscience and say, I want to get to know him. And science, for me, is his blueprint. It's like his calling card. When you think of the creation of man and how intricate our bodies work, how our bodies work and how man and female work together, it has to at some point got to sit and make you wonder and think, how did such a creation come to be? Science does not explain that for me, but the Bible does.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good way of saying it. Somebody's saying that we're indoctrinated a certain way. We're not indoctrinated because you know what? I didn't learn this as a youth. Okay. I didn't learn what I know as a youth. Not as a youth like that. I had my experience at a certain age, but the thing is it. I'm sorry, I'm not indoctrinated, not at all. I study to find out what I know.
Well, see, one thing confuses me is how, and I agree with you, but and it goes back when she was bringing up science. Both of them can't prove nothing because, as we say again, once we deep in science, it becomes theoretical. But I can't see how one person can say, you know what, if you're a homosexual, you're going to hell. But another person say, well, you know what, that homosexual may not go to hell, and they read the same Bible. This is what I'm saying is you have
I was just using
that as an example, meaning that people still have different beliefs, even when they come from the same source.
They can have all the different people can have all the different beliefs they want. And it doesn't matter. We're not going to talk about who is and who's not going to hell, because that's not what this show is supposed to be about. The bottom line that we're talking about here, and we'll come back with some parodies here at the top of the hour, but what they're talking about here is I was talking about the difference in evolution and creationism, and creationism being taught as an absolute science, and to where they are even schools over in England are having their monies pulled away from them if they teach creationism. And so the bottom line is that if you get into a scientific study of all of that, you're going to find that the Bible is pretty doggone accurate. And when you do, you're going to find out that science is pretty doggone accurate as well. And they support each other. But the one thing is, when it comes to that evolution, there's a reason why they don't want you to believe in creationism, because they can't control you without it, and this system is wicked. And the Bible tells you that they're going to create a system that's going to be totally against God. It says the day has come when they're going to make evil good and good evil, and we're in that day now. Whatever sin you do, will take you to hell if you don't have it covered by the blood of Jesus Christ.
And I firmly believe that this global warming thing is Romans 1. They begin to worship the created instead of the creator.
That's what they said.
Jeff.
And that's what we do. Yeah.
You know, the guy asked a question, you know, about a certain sin. And here's the thing that people don't understand. Your relationship, everybody's relationship with God is a private matter, all right? He knows what's in each individual's heart. We don't, all right? He will judge you accordingly, okay? That's what's going to happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? On the surface, we may not understand it, but between that individual and God, and especially God, He knows what's in your heart. He knows your sins. He knows exactly what's going on with you. That is for Him to judge. So that's where it stands on that.
This is true. And it's how He judges. And you have to get into it for yourself to know what's going on. And
it's a personal relationship with God is what it is, which you have.
Absolutely. Anyway, 440, you're in there. Oh, that was you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you were talking to me.
Yeah, I got you. We still have 540. I think I lost Baltimore. But anyway, we're having fun today still on WSOM 600 AM, and we're talking about how things fit and how things fit in a political realm as well, because we talk about politics all the time. And they say, one, two things you should talk about is politics and God. Well, what else matters? Tell me that. If you're not supposed to talk about it, what else matters? And I say that's the only two things to talk about. Because in politics, you're seeing how people are fighting God and how God is dealing with them. It's an age-old, time-old, man-old problem. And it all fits. I wish, he's still there. The religion that my man from Michigan believes in was created by the fallen angels. And there was a reason why they created that religion, because they wanted to make their own place on earth. And so they gave you ancient Kemet and the Jesus-like stories and all of those things there. Why did they do it? Because they wanted their offspring to be seen as gods and rule over you. And they did. They did rule over you with those religions. That's why you had the sciences you had inside of Egypt and inside of Africa.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Because you bring up the book of Jasher, and I read it after you directed me to that book. Why is it that the Roman Catholic Church took out the book of Jasher? I mean, it explains that story very well.
They didn't want you to know that story very well because they were not a church. They stole Christianity at that time. Those people that did that stole Christianity and created a secular religion with it, a very paganistic religion with it. Now, today, the people believe in Jesus Christ, and I say that they're brothers and sisters in Christ, have no problem with it. And I don't want to offend anyone. But the way the system started was paganistic. These are not Christians or Christian teaching that comes out of that church. It's pagan. To what you call the Resurrection Sunday, Ishtar is a goddess, fertility goddess, that they would pray and offer things to. Christmas was a holiday of Saturnalia in the pagan religion. So they thought that the gods were mad at them and giving them less daylight. So they cut themselves with stones and things and lit trees in the groves to the gods, and then it started getting lighter after the 21st of December, and they started celebrating a holiday called Saturnalia. Get it together. That's what my study showed. I studied these things over the years. I don't make a big thing out of Christmas like that. So here it is. The Jesus story happened in Genesis 6. After the fall of man, and they said that I'm going to send one to be in between your seed and my seed. You're going to bruise his foot, but he's going to crush your head. So from that moment, every religion that was made by the fallen angels knew that there was somebody coming that was going to be a savior, and they created their own in their own pagan little places. And they got you together up for all of those things. And now you believe that because your Jesus came before the real Jesus came in the fullness of time, that my Jesus was a replica. No, mine was the original promise. And he did what he said he was going to do. So that's what I'm saying. There's a lot to it. There's a lot to it. You need to get into it. It's very, very interesting. And so we won't go there too long. And
I think we need to reel this back.
Shut everybody down.
Tracy is going to be pleased, Jeffrey.
We got you.
But I'm confused because this is a conservative station, right? And I think most of y'all listeners are conservatives, if I'm not mistaken.
Which point?
So why would the listeners get upset to hear such talk?
No, because we're not talking to just the listeners off this station. We're talking about the people all across the world we talk to. We're not just talking about one set of people.
Yeah, but they're in the minority. And when you think of
that's not
hear the truth.
You don't know numbers, Diva. Don't say what you just said. Because it's not true. Thank you. That's what it is. So it just all started because I watched the climate changers Well, I didn't watch them. I listened to people report on them sitting up all night on the floor of the Senate, the Congress, talking about climate change. And I left them a thing. I said, don't worry about the climate change, because the book of Revelation says that when God starts pouring out judgment, it's going to get real hot because the sun is going to give his light a little harder.
Well, no, Jeff, did you hear that if we didn't have the oceans cooling things off, it'd be 500 degrees Fahrenheit on a planet.
That's right.
I think you guys kind of misunderstand the true argument of global warming and climate change, and I think that the true argument, true message has been co-opted because it's now become political.
Well,
when I was a kid, when I was a kid and they were talking about global warming, it had to do with the Earth's core heating up and certain weather patterns becoming more and more extreme. That's what I'm seeing. Now
hey, Diva,
it's all this stuff that you guys are talking
about. I'm 50 years old, and when I was a little kid, my weekly reader told me that we were all going to be walking around in gas masks because pollution was so bad, and we were all going to freeze to death because the globe was cooling.
Well, imagine
that's what my
if
weekly
we
reader told me back then.
Well, imagine if they didn't do something. Imagine if they didn't do something about pollution. I remember how polluted the oceans were. I remember how polluted our streets and our neighborhoods used to be. I remember how in certain cities you couldn't see the stars at night. I remember, even in China, you go over there, the air is just very nasty and dirty. They had to clean it up for the Olympics. Same thing in Sochi, Russia. They didn't clean up all that good. The air quality was horrible over there. So do you want to go back to that, or you want to continue forward?
We don't have.
Sometimes they do take
that's
it to the extreme.
No, you're given a false choice.
How am I given a
what's
false
wrong with,
choice?
What's wrong with staying right where we're at? How clean is clean enough? You know, I use this analogy. A human being can drink a bottle of beer a day, and their body will cleanse itself of that. You drink a fifth of whiskey a day, it'll kill you.
How clean
is clean enough?
I already admit it that they can be a little extreme and go too far. I never said that we needed to go any further than where we are. I'm saying I don't want to go back to how it used to be.
Do you realize that in his first book, Earth in the Balance, Al Gore said that if it bankrupts every industry in the United States to get the last 10% of pollution, we should do that.
Did I not
that's
just
where
say,
this guy's coming from.
Did I not that's, just say that there are extremists and the argument has been co-opted? Did I not concede that? So why are you bringing up Al Gore to me? I'm not one of his followers. Not one of his leaders.
Because he's the main driving force behind destroying the U.S. economy with this global warming nonsense.
And I already said that the argument that it's been co-opted and they have made it's become political. I already conceded that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So again,
I'm just not getting it because you know what? Here's the thing, Diva. They keep telling you that the Earth is warming and these things are changing, yet the empirical evidence does not support it.
I mean, let's look at another big environmental debate right here in the Valley, and that is this hydraulic fracturing debate. They're running around spewing all this misinformation. There are 16,000 oil wells in the state of Ohio currently. Every last one of them has been hydraulically fractured. But now, all of a sudden, within the last 4 or 5 years, somebody's decided that hydraulic fracturing is bad.
So are you saying
there
that the earthquake
no,
that
and there has never been
that?
A case? There's never been a case proved that hydraulic fracturing has hurt anybody's groundwater.
But are you saying that the earthquakes that we have been having that have this because of what they were doing disturbing
the
fault lines?
No, the earthquake that happened
happened
in Youngstown was not from hydraulic fracturing. See, there's misinformation you've been given.
Precisely.
That was a disposal well. There are certain wells that are drilled that they use to pump leftover brine from existing oil wells back into the ground. Those wells are supposed to be drilled into sandstone because sandstone absorbs the water. this particular oil well, or this, excuse me, this particular disposal well was drilled into a granite formation on a fault line that nobody knew was there. So they were pumping water back into the ground at high pressure to dispose of it permanently into a fault line.
But isn't that part of the process of fracking?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
So this is a completely separate
because
process.
Diva, the process of using disposal wells we have been doing since the 1940s.
But disposal wells for what?
For the brine that comes up. When you pump oil out of the ground, you don't get just oil. You get oil and you get brine water.
Mm-hmm. And gas.
And natural gas. They all come out of the
right.
same hole in the ground.
So
once you
again,
take that brine water out of the ground, you have to...
We're drilling for the natural gas. And they had to dispose of all that stuff, the extra stuff.
No,
so you're telling me that this was a completely separate situation.
Diva.
Yes, it is.
It's a completely different process.
When you go for oil out of the country.
That's even bad enough. Whether it's oil or natural gas, then.
Diva, you're not listening. When you go for a ride out in the country, and you know those little things that go up and down, those cute little things, they look like donkeys?
I've never seen none of one of those unless I was watching the TV show Dallas.
All right.
Okay,
those things on Dallas, then you know what they are.
Yes.
If you look, every one of those pumps has what they call a tank battery. And there will normally be two big tanks there, and then there will be a smaller tank. The two big tanks, the fluid comes out of the oil well, and it goes into the big tank where it separates. The water sinks to the bottom. The oil floats to the top.
Hmm.
The brine water, they take off the bottom, and they store it in the small tank until they get a truckload. Then they take it to a disposal well. We've been doing this forever. We'll be back in a minute.
We'll be back.
Boy, I tell you, that stick can say a whole lot of something without saying nothing. You can say a whole lot of nothing while saying so much of something. Can't answer a question straight. Hello?
Obama wants, and I don't want. We date from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600. You have to come at your political. I wish I could do it because your agenda is anti-American, anti-free market, and anti-private property, because your agenda is an attack on the individual. I personally will do whatever I can to sabotage such an agenda, obstruct it,
on Newstalk 600, WSOX. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the What's the Talk Show. Stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Talk to Dr. Tracy and Friends at 347-945-529-330-781-9600.
Obamacare died. Well, we were gonna run it all on our own. The congressmen and senators were getting stoned back home. That's not how it was supposed to be. We used to be treated like the king and queen in a sweater she borrowed from L.L. Bean. And my voice did harp a stormy, stormy sea. Now every time I hit the stage, bigger crowds appear in fits of rage. Somewhere down in hell is where my numbers fell. I was blown away by Barb and Buck and the redneck neighbors with their pickup trucks. But I knew I was out of luck the day that healthcare died. Chevy across the country trying to put up a fight. Them good old boys were standing right there outside saying this'll be the day that it dies. This'll be the day Obamacare dies. Even though I lied, lied at every town all inside. Drove my Chevy across the country trying to put up a fight. Them good old boys were standing right there outside saying this'll be the day that it dies. This will be the day Obamacare dies.
And live on WSOM 600 AM. I missed the last part. I'm putting my song out there. I don't care what they do to me.
You can keep your health care if you want it.
Yeah.
You can keep your health care if you want it. Voted number one lie of the year by the Washington Post.
Washington Post. I got to get my Obamacare, wasting away in Obama.
Wasting
Obamaville.
Away okay, Obama.
Barack Obamaville.
Barack Obamaville. Oh, jeez.
That's what it is.
It amazes me how far we've come in the last 5 years, six years.
It's been quick.
It's amazing where they're going. And did you hear how they're getting around the food stamp thing, different states?
Yes, they are. Tell me the thing. Because
well, what I saw this morning was if a state grants anybody any heating assistance, they're automatically eligible for food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, what I saw this morning said the state of New York gave $600 million out in additional heat assistance, and they got $551 million from the government, from the federal government, in food stamp funding.
This is getting real interesting here, too, because, yeah, that's what's going on. So they're getting around it, and now the states are going to take on all of this new stuff because I just saw where Ohio was going to have a really hard time adjusting to the new law, and that it was going to really, really hurt. But thank God we have a fiscal guy at the head of Ohio right now that we're going to find out about.
And I'll tell you what. I like Governor Kasich, but I think he made a mistake on this one. But the next, and probably not him if he gets reelected, but the governor after him is going to have to deal with this mess.
You're right.
I mean, that's the thing. It's going to be a budget buster. And the thing is, states have to balance their own budgets. You know, they can't operate like the federal government. The states cannot print money out of thin air the way the federal government does. And people have to understand that. You know, your state and your local municipality, they're only allowed to spend the money that they take in taxes every year.
And they're not allowed to print money either.
And if they spend anything extra, then it's got to come through a bond, some kind of a bond issuance, which is debt, which has to be paid out of current tax revenue. So you're counting on your city growing, and I'll tell you what, I mean, you take a city like Youngstown, post-1977 to today, I would be very hard-pressed to invest my money in Youngstown municipal bonds.
Right. It's going to be something. I'm looking at the – trying to look for the one I saw the other day to say Ohio braces for the Medicaid fat.
And, you know, and another thing is, you know, Social Security's coming into a bubble. I think they said 2020 Social Security's bankrupt. And
right.
And what people don't understand about Social Security is all those years that they took in more money than they paid out, they bought U.S. Treasuries, government bonds. And when those bonds are retired, they have to be paid for with current tax revenue.
Right.
So basically, we've spent our grandparents' money and our children are going to have to pay it back. Like it or not.
Our great-great-grandchildren have to pay it back.
Yeah, I think every American citizen is now $100,000+ in debt.
And $83,000, is it?
Something like that.
Almost $250,000?
Yeah. And that's not counting the unfunded liabilities of Social Security and Medicare. That's just the $17 trillion that's on the books. That's not what's off the books. And yet we still get these people with this foolishness that think that the laws of economics and physics don't apply to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point, well, the Chinese already quit buying our bonds. Did you know that, Jeff?
Yes, I do. They won't have anything to do with it. They ran away from it like a leper.
And the Indians aren't buying our bonds. And the Federal Reserve is printing money out of thin air. I implore everybody to go look up the Harold Ickes testimony to the Congress, or Harold Eccles.
Eccles, I was going to say Harold Ickes is a
Eccles.
Far left winger. I don't think
he was a far left winger. He was his dad, actually, the guy we're thinking of. This is his father.
Okay.
But Eccles, I think it was. And it explains how the Federal Reserve works. See, when we went to a Federal Reserve system, we went from an asset-based currency to a debt-based currency.
Exactly.
Every dollar that you have in your pocket is a debt owed to a bank by your government. In fact, if the national debt was paid off, there would be no money in circulation. And I know that's a hard concept to grasp, but it's absolutely the truth.
Right. Bianca, you're in there. 314-381, you're in there.
I was saying hello to you and...
Oh, never mind. I didn't have you up. Sorry, I didn't have you up. My fault.
I was saying I don't owe that $100,000. I paid off all my bills.
No, yeah, but your government's making debt for you, for you and your grandkids.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how they work. They take all the debt owed and they divide it up by every woman, man, and child and say, well, you owe this too. And if he
yep.
had had opportunity to decide whether to do it, to say yay or nay, more likely you would have said no.
That's
but
why
you got some people who depends on that, though, Jeff. They have the mentality that government, you know, if some people have the mentality that everything's supposed to be spread out evenly like you spread peanut butter across a slice of bread.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it means taking something from somebody who has, no matter how they worked hard or accumulated it, and it should be spread. But, I mean, things just don't work that way.
That's the purpose of the income tax and the inheritance tax is to stop intergenerational wealth. I mean, that's what it was thought up. It was thought up by the Rockefellers and the Carnegies and those people to stop anybody from challenging their power and authority. But, you know, they sold it to the American people as tax the rich. But the real rich people already had their escape hatches in place.
Yep.
Through their charitable trusts. And we're too stupid to realize it.
That's how they live.
I found the testimony here. It's just four sentences. It's Mariner Eccles, Governor of Federal Reserve, talking to Congressman Wright Patman, of the chairman of the committee.
Mm-hmm.
Eccles, he asked him where the money came from that they spent during the Depression. Eccles, we created it. Patman, out of what? Eccles. Out of the right to issue credit money,
mm-hmm.
Patman. And there is nothing behind it, is there, except our government's credit? Eccles. That is what our money system is. If there were no debts in our money system, there wouldn't be any money.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. There you have it.
As long as I owe you, you never go broke.
Yep, that's Keynes.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that doesn't allow people of moderate means to ever acquire anything.
Mm-mm. No, if you don't have it acquired right now, you're pretty much in trouble because it's going to be very difficult for you to not really, but it's still going to be difficult for you to have anything to do with collecting, wealth.
Right. Alex is right here. He put in the chat room, U.S. dollar doesn't say money on it. It says Federal Reserve note. And what is a note?
Mm-hmm.
A note is a debt.
That's right. As long as we owe you, you never go broke.
But the thing is,
as long as you owe us,
right?
You'll never.
And by having a system of credit, of credit based money or debt based money, currency, what you do is the working people, the people who trade labor, never keep up with inflation,
right?
And they don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the classic. The classic, what's the president always hollering about?
What?
Inequality.
Wealth inequality. Uh-huh.
It's the
income
ultimate,
inequality.
It's the ultimate creator of income inequality.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I pay you a dollar today and you stick that dollar under a mattress, next year you've only got 50 cents.
Right. And they don't care.
Well, no, because I made, not only did I make the dollar off of your labor, I got to sell that product, and I made the money on the product.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you're in that realm, in the investor realm, you don't do any. You go backwards, constantly. You can't get ahead if you're labor. But yet it's labor that bannies and screams for this system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is true. This is all true. And so, like I said, I'd like to really have people study what is going on here and really study it for your own personal understanding. That's what I want you to really get to, because it's just really, really not good. It's not good what we are coming to. It's not good of what we're where we have arrived to. And I'm losing my train of thought a lot because I'm doing too many things.
Tracy multitasks way better than you or I. I don't know how she does it. She sits here and plays bubbles.
I can't do games.
I can't. I'm lucky to run that board over there and keep talking at the same
time. It's not easy.
You know.
Howdy.
Oh, well,
I'm going to break. I always say barbecue sauce is at the grocery store.
Recovery today, Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health.
Well, what do you guys do this time? Hello, it's me.
Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back once again, afternoon, morning with Tracy and Friends. Jeff and Sticks here, hanging out with you. Whatever you want to talk about, you give me a call here at 330-781-9600. I had a local caller ready to come in, and then he keeps hanging up. So hopefully he'll call back or she'll call back, and we'll get it underway. We have in the chat room 614 and 314, and so we'll bring that pod back up and see what's going on. But there's lots of stuff happening out here, and everybody, I would tell you to get a couple different news sources, and that is you get Drudge Report and Google News. So you'll have both sides of the spectrum and the Blaze, really.
Yes. 74th largest website on the planet right now.
And listen, the Blaze is blazing.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people don't like Glenn Beck, but Glenn Beck has proven himself to be a very credible source. He always was.
Yeah. You know you're doing something right when both sides hate you.
That's
true. I mean, the motto for the Blaze is the truth has no agenda.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, he beats up on Republicans and Democrats just the same. In fact, he's aligning himself with Freedom Works now to throw out all the incumbent, all the establishment Republicans. So, you know, you can't say he's looking for favor from the party.
Something has got to be wrong with a person where you get mad because, one, there is a Black History Month, and, two, there is a people celebrate a movement that Black people, such as the Civil Rights Movement, that Black people just feel some type of way about it. When he came out and said, let's take that movement back, what did he mean by that?
Fill me in. I don't know from what you're referring to.
Around the time that President Obama had got elected, maybe that year, 2009, 2010, when Black History Month came up, celebrated Civil Rights Movement, he was talking all this nonsense while let's take that movement back.
He's talking about that.
Glenn Beck didn't start talking about take the country back until the Tea Party came out.
I didn't say country back. I said movement.
She's talking about the Civil Rights Movement, which was led by Republicans.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what he was referring to.
And that was way after he come in, because that was August of that year that they had the march on Washington, and they had it at the time of year that King had made his speech, and it offended
Blacks. So why is he getting mad that a whole bunch of Black people were getting together to celebrate that speech and having that march on Washington?
He didn't get
because
mad.
when he was on TV, he seemed like he was angered and bothered by that.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't. I went to
that's
that
what
event.
It seemed like to me.
You want to know who was angered and bothered that day? It was the people that were following Al Sharpton. I watched their when we finished up, we were waiting on our bus, and those people marched past us, and I've never seen a group of angrier people in my life than those people.
The Nuit people.
The people that were following Al Sharpton.
And who was those people you're referring to?
There was trade unions there. There were people from the Democratic Socialists from America. There was black groups. There was it was a lot of different groups in that thing, but they all had one thing in common. They were angry.
So you don't think that they had a reason to be angry, just like the Tea Party is angry?
No,
they didn't.
Oh, okay. So
why should they?
So these are people who have their own beliefs, just like the Tea Party has their own beliefs. I'm not going to sit up here and say the Tea Party has no right to be angry if they're feeling some type of way. But you're sitting here and trying to disfranchise another group of people and saying you have no right to be angry because they disagree with your point of view?
Diva, have you ever gone to a Tea Party rally?
No.
Because
I'm not saying that angry as in.
No,
I'm not saying angry as in.
Stop. I've gone to Tea Party rallies. Tea Party rallies are festive events. People smile. They laugh. They joke. They're not the angry, the hate that I saw that day in Washington, D.C. It was hate, Diva.
So you're saying these people
deep
were hated
hate. Yes.
Of course they are. And their whole thing is hateful.
Angry is completely different than hate. A person can be angry and not
hate. The people that I saw that day were hateful and looked at me with hate. Not with disagreement. Not with honest American disagreement, but with hate.
Why? Did they know who you were? Were you on a Tea Party bus?
It doesn't matter because the Tea Party bus has nothing to do.
Are you saying they looked at you with hate because they saw a white man or they saw somebody who was part of the Tea Party?
We came back from the mall, and we were waiting in a park for our bus to arrive. And we all had T-shirts on that said Restoring Honor, the whole group of us. And I will tell you something that happened to us. There was a young girl about 12 years old came running out of the march. And in along the mall, they've got posts with chains between them, dividing the roadway from the sidewalk. This little girl jumps over the thing, and she falls down, and she hurts herself. She hit hard on her knees. And a couple of the ladies from our group went over, and we had water, and they were dressing her knees and comforting her. And it was a good 5 minutes before anybody out of that march realized that little girl was there.
So are you saying you were at the mall doing a Tea Party rally on the same day that they were commemorating Martin Luther King's speech?
It wasn't a Tea Party rally.
Okay, because I'm trying to figure out, you're saying these people looking at you with hate. Why would they look at you with hate unless they...
Because they were white and they were Black. That's why they did it,
okay,
and they were told
to
hate them.
To get at.
They were told
that's
by Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson that these people don't have any respect for you, they don't like you, they're prejudiced against you, and you should not like them. They lied so that they can have their...
Okay,
they
that's
can
what
have
I'm trying
their,
to
we're
get
not
at.
Done. We're not done. Glenn Beck called the rally long time ago and forgot or did not check out that this was the same day of the Martin Luther King March. And
yes, he
they
did.
Felt as, no, he didn't. He didn't find out about it until after he had planned that thing for months and months and months. And he says, we're still going to have it. We didn't want to be offensive to anybody. I was a huge follower of Glenn Beck when he was on TV. And once again, I saw that thing metamorphosis into what it did. You got these people teaching you to hate people.
And he placed his stage, was it three steps below where Martin Luther King stood, because he said, I'm not worthy to stand where Martin Luther King stood. Three steps
below.
So
Sticks, why did you have such a hard time voicing that these black people that you saw looked at you with hate because you were white?
They weren't just black people. There were trade unions. There were banners. There was banners that said Democratic Socialists of America, because it wasn't just black people. There were white people.
So it had nothing to do with your
too.
Skin color, Dan.
No, it had to do with what we stood for. Which they have been told.
Disagree.
You disagree, Jeff? Uh-huh. Okay, Jeff disagrees.
Because I watched what Al Sharpton said. Glenn Beck thinks he's going to come down there and he's gonna take our holiday away. But he can't have our holiday. It's our holiday, and we're going to do this thing. It's our anniversary to adopt the Martin Luther King. And he's...
Again, well, they wouldn't have been looking at Jeff. They wouldn't have been looking at the.
Of that.
Hold on, Bianca. Let her finish. Go ahead, Diva. So
he, back,
Bianca,
not understand that that was the anniversary of that speech. And don't they hold rallies just about every year to commemorate that speech?
He
and
did not know
no,
they
planned no, it. Not on the mall. No, not on the mall, Diva. No, they don't.
But
not
why did he feel the need on a day of Martin Luther King's speech, to commemorate Martin Luther King's speech, why did he feel the after saying stuff like, we need to take that holiday back, we need to take that movement back?
He
I mean,
did not
in my
say
mind,
to take that holiday back. That's a lie.
Hold on. I'm not a follower.
That is
out.
A lie.
Okay.
That's a lie.
Listen to me. I'm not a follower. He did, too. I heard it out of his own mouth. I was watching him when he said it, okay? He said it. He was whatever you may think he said, in my mind, I'm not a follower of Al Sharpton. I believe he does some good things, and I believe he does some bad things. But in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, here's a white guy who seems to have a vehement dislike of a black president, and he has a disrespect for any black person who is not like him or doesn't think like him. And here he is telling him, let's take this holiday back. I mean, let's take this movement back. So imagine if you had all them people thinking the same thing.
He said take it back. He said that they need to take it back from the liberal progressives that are destroying it. Yes, he did. He said the liberal progressives who are turning it into a sham and something that it was not meant to be.
For one thing, he had Alveda King there speaking.
I don't care.
Alveda King was one of the speakers that day.
She's a confused. She's just as confused as Jeffy is.
That woman ain't confused about nothing.
Well, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton get their funding from white, so they can't be hating white folks. So I think that they hate the policies the Tea
they
Party.
They hate white Republicans, can they say it all the time. These presidents, white Republicans, and they do this and they do that, and they try to stop us from voting. The most asinine thing that I'm seeing right now is this voter ID thing. And, you know, here it is. They're telling you that it's going to disenfranchise older black people. How the hell do they vote now?
Well, as an organization, I don't think that they do. Now, there are blacks who have animosity for white folks. And I see them, hear them all the time. I mean, that's just the way it is. Like, you got whites that have animosity for blacks. We have to come to realize that people are going to have their views, their ideology. Our main responsibility, because they are United States citizens, is that we have to respect them and respect their right to citizenship, their civil rights, period.
I'm confused because voting ID, unless you can name me several cases where the elections have been turned due to voter fraud, people actually going into the booth voting as other people. Why did they feel the need to come out about and talking about voter fraud when black people have done what they never thought they were going to do and come out in droves and vote.
That's a lie from the pit of hell once again, because we have been on this voter ID since way before black people voted for Barack Obama. We
bull
were on
crap.
Voter ID in Ohio. You can say bull crap all you want to.
Diva, I've had to show an ID. I've had
in
to
Ohio,
show
you can show a
to vote
utility bill
years.
To vote.
Diva, you don't work in politics when you was
yeah,
12
Diva,
years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, I can't remember. At least 10 years I've had to show my driver's license every time I vote.
Yeah, but
it's nothing new.
It got to the point where you can show a utility bill. You could use your college ID. You could use – now it's getting stricter and stricter. Oh, no, no, now. Now we just want state identification or your concealed carry weapons license or your deer hunting license.
Okay.
Those
now
licenses
getting,
I believe all those licenses have an address on them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so does your utility bill. But why do they – right now do they
– Well, the same apply to getting a passport. You used to get a passport by producing a whole lot less documents than you do today. To renew your passport, to get a driver's license, a whole lot less documents than you do today.
All I need to renew my driver's license is my current driver's license. That's all I need.
Well, that's not that way in some states.
You got a picture on it
now,
don't it?
Yeah, you got to have a picture on it. You know, you seem to forget. States have a right to set the standards.
It's been a problem that led to them now saying we're going to just use your state ID or a concealed carry weapons license or a hunting license. Why now? When you used to let all type of I see if there was a widespread problem, but there wasn't. So why
can't if they had waited a week later, would it have been all right with you?
I'm sorry, say it again.
If they had waited a week later, would it have been all right?
What do you mean waited a week later? No, it's
saying why now?
There was no need for it. If it's not broken, why fix it?
Well, I
because
tell you exactly
broken.
The reason why. Because of the immigration laws that
thank
Obama's
you,
twiddling his turn with.
Oh, my.
That's why.
Thank you, Pionki. 13 million freaking, listen, 13 million people in the country, and you don't think that they want to upset the voting base, and that even in certain places in Texas,
okay,
Mexico,
well,
and Southern California,
there's no
vote.
Evidence of such a thing happening where
I have to correct
the election.
Diva? I'm looking at Houston's site right now. Voter identification for Ohio. Here is the valid ID you're allowed. A current valid photo ID issued by a state of Ohio or United States government. Military ID. Current copy of a utility bill. Original current bank state. Original or copy of a current government check. Original or copy of a current paycheck. Original copy or a copy of a current or other government documentation other than voter registration acknowledgement notification mailed by the Board of Elections. Those are the legal documents allowed to use for ID to vote in the state of Ohio as of this date.
Which they are still currently trying to get rid of. In other states, they have done away with.
Wait.
That's not what you said. Stop. Quit playing
but that
this
is what
baloney
I said.
With me. No. You do what all liberals do. You said in Ohio.
You do what all liberals do.
You're trying
I've heard
to
you
move the ball.
Only live
the
this program. I can't even stomach.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Pionki.
She said the key thing. Other states. Listen, states have a right to set the standards for voting. They're privileged people to exercise their right to vote, and also other privileges like driving.
Yeah, my grandmother would. In Wisconsin, when my grandmother turned 16, that's all you needed to do was walk in and say, I want a driver's license, and they handed you one.
And if they want to go
the teens.
Now here goes the big thing that they say. They want to go vote at their voting place. Well, you know what you do? You send for your little ballot in the mail, and you get your ballot, and you fill it out, put it in the paper, and take it down to your voting precinct and turn it in without waiting. This is stupid, asinine, once again. It's a false argument. It's totally false, and it's been going on. We had early voting in Ohio since 1990, Diva, so don't start this craziness.
Jeff.
Yes.
For voter ID purposes, this is in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Current. It says it has to be a current document. It means the document was issued on a date within 1 year immediately preceding the election.
1 year.
1 year. So if you've got a year-old utility bill, you can vote and use it as an ID. I don't see how this is voter suppression.
There is no voter suppression in the state of Ohio. It's an absolute false flag. It's a gear up people to go vote because they're not going to vote otherwise, and they know they're not going to vote otherwise. So they have to get them some kind of motivated with hatred to get them to go out and vote. I hate you because you're trying to stop me from voting. Nobody wants you to vote. You got 30 freaking days to do it. Now, because they want to cut off two of the Sundays, just two of the Sundays, they're all up in arms. What do you mean? You got 30 days to vote. Go vote. And if your people don't have IDs, get them a freaking ID. I'll kick in some money on that.
I think you promised that once before. You said anybody
I did. I sure did.
Call into the show and we'll pay for your
we'll
ID.
We'll pay for your ID. If you can't get it done,
you can't yet.
We'll get you some help, some legal help in getting one, too. See, because I can't stand this stupidity.
The state of South Carolina offered to send people a ride to go get a free ID. They had, I think South Carolina said, three in the entire state.
In the whole state. Ain't nobody's out there
they
with
said,
that
call
ID.
Call this phone number. We will pick you up and take you to get your free ID.
The only ones that don't have IDs are illegal aliens. And that's what you're trying to prevent from voting and upsetting the
apple cart
in the elections. Because I was trying to say earlier, down in the southwestern states, the illegals have a right to vote for school board and some of these other things, which doesn't make any sense to me.
No.
Okay, there's no way that they would be voting for school board. You don't live here. You're the one overloading my system.
You know, though, I heard about this situation, and I can see where there needs to be a change in the law in this case, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a disabled Marine whose wife was brought here illegally by her parents when she was a small child.
Okay.
Now, I can see where the law can be made to give everybody that's in that situation, you're married, a green card.
Well, they just took care of that yesterday.
Oh, they did?
Executive order.
Wait.
They
got nothing to do with Congress.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to Congress. Don't forget, we're talking about President Barack Obama.
Now, what are all these liberals going to do when we elect a Republican in 2016, and he does away with the EPA by executive order, and he does away with the NSA by executive order? Let's put Rand Paul in the White House.
Please.
And by executive order, he does away with the Federal Reserve. By executive order, he does away with the EPA.
Mm-hmm.
By executive order, he does away with the NSA. He creates a libertarian utopia by executive order. What's the liberals going to say then?
They're going to scream foul and turn.
That will never happen. You'll not get a Republican in the White House in 2016.
Don't believe that, Diva.
Diva,
your world is too small.
I'm telling you.
No, my world is not too small.
Republicans stand a very good chance of taking control of the Senate
and the presidency right now
in 14 and taking the White House in 16. Very, very good chance.
So you guys don't seem to vote for moderates anymore, and then the moderates can't stomach, and the moderates and the progressives of your party can't stomach the likes of Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, truly.
Dave, this
when
is
it comes
what
to
matters.
General election.
When the Republican Party runs a Ronald Reagan for president, a Ronald Reagan type, he gets elected. Because that's where the rest of the country.
Name me a Ronald Reagan type that's prominent in your party at this moment.
Cruz and Paul.
And Ron Paul.
Rand Paul.
Definitely not.
Well, to you. But see, this is what gets me.
Well, when
now,
you look
I
at
work
Ronald
in,
Reagan's policies,
Diva.
Cruz and Rand Paul are nowhere near close.
Diva.
I'm sorry.
Diva, once again. I work for both parties politically, depending on who's running, okay, because I work in politics. I like doing that, and I will work for you if I believe in you. I won't work for you if I don't believe in you. So now, I know both sides of the fence. You know nothing about the Republican side except what they tell you on your bad news given news TV shows.
I knew McCain wasn't
going to win.
Because
they're opinion shows. They're not news.
So.
Beg pardon?
I knew Romney wasn't going to win in 2012, so what did that tell
you?
I knew Romney wasn't going to win in
2012 as well.
I knew McCain was going to win a primary. I knew Romney was going to win a primary.
McCain should have won that primary. There was no way McCain should have won a primary.
Right,
because McCain didn't have the votes to pass that primary, really.
Well,
okay.
Again.
Okay, well, I knew he wasn't going to win. Okay, so I don't know why you think that I'm any different. I'm into this. Just because you knew that somebody wasn't going to win off of your and were right about it doesn't mean that you understand how things work, because you would never open your mouth to say what you just said.
I knew McCain was going to win, and you didn't think that McCain was going to win, still scratching your head how McCain was going to win that primary.
I don't know what you're saying. I didn't scratch my head about McCain winning
you
the primary.
You said there was no way McCain should have won.
No, there isn't.
Primary.
No, because it infused him with money. That's how he won, because he was broke. And then all of a sudden, boom, money comes. Boom, all this other stuff comes.
Did it come from Brother Soros?
I don't think his came from Soros, but it came from Soros-like individuals.
Go ahead, Pete.
I tell you what, I'm happy as hell McCain didn't win the election. We would have been fighting the Chicago Cubs.
Well, you know, McCain is not a hawk like that. But McCain is a hawk on certain things. And see, he would have been for going into Syria for certain things, which he was. McCain was the hawk. We need to go there now. We already saw the evidence, and so we should be acting, not talking. And that's what he was saying here just a few months ago. And him and a handful of other Republicans, very few Republicans said anything about it, about going into Syria. And that's what people aren't looking at either, you know, but it was stupid.
I mean, but look at the Republican primary field in 2007, 2008. I mean, I had to argue my liberal friends when it came to Obama. I said, look what we got. I mean, read the tea leaves, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I was very sure and confident in who was going to win the Republican and the Democratic primary came 2008, and I was correct. Same thing now. 2016, I'm trying to see who y'all got as a viable candidate because y'all so conflicted.
We're a big tent party because the Democrats
you are not
have
a big
to walk
party.
In,
you have two have, issues.
Have to walk in lockstep, or you get excommunicated.
The biggest
thing about the Republican Party is this, Diva, and that is that they believe in freedom. And
let me ask you something.
Okay, go ahead.
Is Chris Christie a Republican?
No.
Okay. Who else did y'all kick out the party? I mean,
nobody kicked anybody out. They're trying to keep him in there.
Y'all kick him out.
He
says he's a Republican. He ran on a Republican ticket. He's anti-gay marriage. He's pro-life.
Who's anti-gay marriage? Who's anti-gay marriage? He just signed a bill. He just signed a bill in the law. What are you talking about?
He had no choice.
Yeah, I don't care whether he had a choice. If I don't believe
in
somebody, I'm
not
going to go along with it.
Did he not fight in court to try to keep same-sex marriage out of New Jersey?
He's the governor. He could have vetoed it if he thought it was against the Constitution.
So then the Republican Party, if you don't believe, if you are pro-choice, if you are pro-same-sex unions or civil rights, whatever, then you're not a Republican?
Right.
Okay.
If you don't follow the party platform, you're not a Republican.
Oh, so that's not considered walking lockstep then?
No, because the thing is you're centered around beliefs and principles.
Because we debate debate things.
Okay. All
Chris
right.
Christie may or may not get the nomination.
Chris Christie's not getting the nomination.
Democrats made sure of that, and I'm glad they killed him.
Jeb Bush may or may not get the nomination. But he won't get my vote.
We think
Jeb
Bush has a great chance at winning the nomination. Winning a
Absolutely.
General election is a different story.
If he runs, he wins.
If the Democrats run Clinton and the Republicans run Bush, it's going to be a dead heat, and I think Bush will come out a little bit on top, just simply because I don't think Americans have the stomach to watch a woman get old in the White House.
I see. That's where you're. That's how you're thinking of it, but this is how I look at it.
That's psychology.
And Bush,
when
you look at the two Bushes we had in the White House versus the one Clinton we had in the White House, and she was in the White House with her husband. And in these economic times, people are going to remember and think back to those moments.
Yes, they will. Whose economic policies did Bill Clinton use?
People are not going to be looking at that. People are not going to be looking at
that. You won't
answer
the question. I'm going to cut you off because I don't want I'm not going to let you banter about the freaking question or get off the phone.
It's not going to matter to the American people.
Okay, well, you have lost your privilege for today. 330-212, you are in the air.
Yeah,
it was Ronald Reagan's policies. Good. Just like JFK did.
I think it's pretty bad that we as Americans have to hear about those two names in 2016 anyway.
I agree.
Yeah.
Which is why I have a feeling that neither one of them will get through the primaries. Unless there's a whole lot of,
I'm sick of hearing both their names at this point.
I am too, but you know what? You have to understand that, that's what I wanted to talk about today. I wanted to talk about that Illuminati thing.
Yeah.
But we'll do that another day, probably Friday. I'll try to bring that in. But you have to understand that the organizations that control the political of this country pick and choose who they want in there. And then you also have the progressives in certain of these things that are forced as well that are not too far off from believing the same things. But when I heard OPEC guy. Oh, yeah, George Soros says, it doesn't matter who we get, we're going to get our way, whether it's Romney or whether it's Obama. So it didn't matter to him then.
Yeah, both of those families are behind the progressive movement anyway, so.
Well, that's where your problem is with them. When you get to the point along your life travels where you can really read, then you would be able to read and understand where problems begin, where they fester and cohabitate.
And this is the thing. The people aren't watching. You know, the only thing as I say is this, I'd rather be on the side of the right side progressive because they want the United States to be the leader to the one world government. So if it's going to be, that's the side I'm going to fall down on because they'll at least let the country be strong because we'll have to be the leader of that coalition of governments. But the thing is either way you go, that's what they're headed for. And, you know, you're not going to be able to fight against that particular prick. You just have to be there and understand what both sides want. And when you got one side that is tearing down your military and making you look like a punk in the whole world, and the people are punking you from small countries to big countries because you're wearing mom jeans, then that's what's up. Go ahead,
well,
Pivot, and I'm the unlisted caller.
That's where
is
me and you have a little disagreement because I see the one, like the name you mentioned, the Soros. Those individuals cause a whole lot of problems. See, my emphasis is on seeing African countries stand up and be able to hold their own. And with what you just mentioned, of course, there are it's not going to be no one world government because you can see part of the world is moving away from the things that the one world government stands for. But I want to see those African countries to be able to stand on their own. In order for them to do that, they got to disassociate with those individuals that you talk with, especially in the present relationship or should I say the relationship they have experienced for the last 500 years.
Unlisted caller, you get the last word. Unlisted caller, you just called in. Okay, I'm not going to wait for you. That's, I understand. Well, we'll get to that Friday, and because we're getting ready to go off the air right now. We appreciate everybody tuning in today morning with Tracy and friends.
Tracy and I will be back tomorrow, and we have a we've got a guest from a financial advisor. So tune on in and learn about some financial stuff.
And tune in and call in and voice your view and ask your questions. Can't help, can't hurt to do that. Okay, I'm going to open the lines back up if you guys want to talk. We'll see you tomorrow. Mornings with Tracy and Friends.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600.
Have a hard time believing anyone who predicted that Romney was going to beat the brakes off of Obama in 2012 and came out soundly wrong. You want to tell me I don't know how to read political climate? Eric. Pianchi.
Yes. I'm afraid to say something.
Why?
Me too.
Eric, why do you always have all that background noise?
I don't know. I guess it's this phone is too good. I got my money's worth with this phone. I got all I can.
Y'all going to be mighty sick.
But I really don't understand why you don't understand, you don't see why come voter ID is becoming so prevalent. There's really nothing to it. I understand the arguments about grandmother and grandfather, only ID they have is what's in their Bible. Well, that's a minuscule case, and it needs to be addressed. Go ahead and address it and get it out of the way. Get grandmother and grandfather the proper documentation that they need so they can comply.
Because they're trying to argue something. Going off if this would have happened or this could. So now you're causing a bunch of problems, endless problems for the major. There is no evidence of illegal immigrants causing the electricity.
That background noise on the other phone is drowning you out. That radio, you need to cut that radio down, Eric. What are you listening to? Eric. Eric. Yes, yeah, I like listening to the news. That's insulting. When I'm talking, somebody listening to the news.
He doesn't have it on mute.
Sounds like the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, that's not me.
Eric, is that your background noise?
No, that's not me.
Pardon me?
That's not me.
Dave, is that you?
Now, who else was on the line? Was Matt on?
I don't think so.
I can't see how somebody can talk on the telephone and listen to that kind of news at the same time. That's really doing some damn multitasking. That was on yesterday, too.
No, because yesterday we had you, me, and Mays had a very good conversation yesterday, and we didn't hear any of that.
That's why she ain't on today. She's shocked herself. She's sad. She's exhausted. There, it went away.
Maybe.
Well, you talking about Romney. I don't, you know, Republicans, you know, I'm not, I like some of the conservative views of the Republicans, but no way in the world. I'm more of an issue person, a candidate person, than party. I moved away from those parties long, some time ago. Because you see good and bad, if you want to call it good and bad, or should I say you see good and bad policy in either one of them. I'm totally against all these crazy wars. I have to give Obama credit for that. He is less likely, seemingly, and I think he's taking a lot of advice from his generals. The generals are telling him to leave these things alone. Gates told him about Libya. Look at Libya today. And Wesley Clark told him about Iran and Syria. You had generals tell him about Syria. So I guess he's doing the right thing about listening to them generals and staying out of these conflicts. Conflicts cost a lot of money. The United States don't have that kind of money. And it's going to pay for it in the future.
I just, when I look at 2016 and when I look at a general election, in a general election, you have a mixture of different voters. It's not like the primary. Ted Cruz, a Rand Paul, will not win a general election. The Republican base, I know they like to think that they're very large. The Democratic base has grown since 2007. I mean, President Obama has done something phenomenal with registering voters. If they can get their base out to the polls, they don't necessarily need the middle. But the Republican Party still needs to win independent voters. You're not going to win independents with the likes of a Ted Cruz or a Rand Paul.
Yeah, but who in the heck's going to vote for Hillary Clinton? I mean, that is really going back into the deep midst of the abyss.
She's still the darling of the left.
Oh, no, that woman's not. That wicked witch.
We don't.
You're
going to
have
like
people
that.
Coming out on walkers and crutches to vote against her.
Again, we don't see her like that. We don't see her as you guys see her.
Well, that's the point. You really don't understand the complexities of politics.
What I'm saying
is one issue voters.
You're saying how can anybody vote for Hillary Clinton? But the fact is, we still look at her, the left still looks at her, and they see the Clinton years.
Name me something that you would vote for Hillary Clinton for. And don't say the Clinton years, because her husband, she had no input on her husband. How'd she have any input on her husband when there was Monica Lewinsky's around?
But the fact of the matter, you do, okay, here's the thing. Hillary Clinton is, how should I say it, the hierarchy when it comes to politics than her husband. Bill Clinton, basically, they put him out there because at the time the country would not have voted for a woman. He was the closest thing they got. They thought that they would get Hillary in the White House and get what she stood for, but the Republicans wouldn't allow. They pushed back and pushed against Bill Clinton, so they gave up. And they just allowed it to go where it was. But if you do the research, if you read all the books on Hillary Clinton and all those who supported and backed her, it was always supposed to have been her. That's where the progressive movement comes in. It was always about her. His presidency was always supposed to be about her, really, but the country was not ready for a female president at the time. Now, the time is right. And you know history has shown the black man go get his rights or get his due before a white woman will. Didn't the black man get land ownership, voting rights before white women could? So now that a black man's gotten in office, it tests the waters. The country's now ready. Will be now be ready for a female.
Yeah, but what? Well, if you're gonna be ready for a female, why Hillary Clinton?
Because that's who the left wants.
Based on what?
She's the only viable candidate we have right now. She's the only one that's going to be able to withstand the scrutiny, the accusations, the judgments.
Well, she can't. What accusations? Benghazi? How's she going to withstand Benghazi?
Because the left doesn't see Benghazi the way you guys see Benghazi.
Right. Well, I don't know about that. I see Benghazi for what it is.
Well, when you have Chris Stevens getting rid of his detail, his extra detail in August 2012, after he was warned against it, I mean, how is it that it's Hillary's
Chris
fault?
Stevens was an underling. She was the boss.
But it was his call. It was his judgment call.
No, then she should have reprimanded him, got rid of him. She was the boss.
What do you mean got rid of him? He volunteered for that to go over there. It wasn't even...
Well, then it's a lot easier to get rid of him then. Hillary Clinton was the boss. I mean, you talk about hierarchy. She was the boss. She should have, if she wanted details there of any particular size, then she should have placed them there, regardless of what he wanted.
It was about what she wanted. It was about what Chris Stevens needed at the time and what he wanted, what he felt he didn't need. And he felt he didn't need the extra detail. And
well, that's what I'm saying, that Hillary Clinton wouldn't make no good president in my eyes. Because
okay,
admiral say that he wants, admiral say he wants X number of days of rations, and she knows that that's not enough, then she's just going to be quiet. Oh, come on.
I didn't make that, and that was a poor analogy. But again, you're asking, how is it the left, how is she going to get past Benghazi? The left is
that
not
ain't the only thing she got to get past.
What else she has to get past?
There's a lot of things out there she got to need to give faith to, good faith to. I mean, that woman,
like what?
In my books, is terrible.
Okay, but like what?
She's a warmonger. Plus, she's a woman. She has to prove that she's tough.
Did you just really just say that?
I sure did. I can hear it in her talking. She's one of the three wicked witches, the other two being Rice and Powell.
Who?
Susan Rice and Samantha Powell.
Oh.
Obama getting much of his ideologue from Samantha Powell's husband. I can't think of his name, Stingberg or something like that.
No, I would think after reading President Obama's book, he got a lot of his ideology from his mother and his grandpa.
Well, that's what he says. What you have to do is read somebody else's stuff, then you see the similarities. If Obama is quoting what somebody else...
I have a lot of similarities to President Obama. Does that mean I got my ideology from them people?
No, I'm talking about pertinent information, things that shape his thoughts in order to enact policies. Like when
okay,
he makes a statement that someone believes that they didn't do it all by themselves, which is totally not accurate.
That did not really come from someone
else. His ideas
like
on taxes.
He believed it, but that's something he's believed in.
Government.
That was something that his mother instilled in him.
His mother was practically nothing but a whore.
Why you got to say all that?
His father was an opportunist, wanted to be with a
yeah,
woman.
Yeah, I would give you that.
So that he could get citizenship to come to the United States. That's an age-old ploy right there.
Well, no, because his father didn't stay in the United States. His father came to the United States on a student visa, so it had nothing to do with staying here. His father was an opportunist because his father, I believe, wanted to marry a white woman because at that time of how that country was during that time in white supremacy, white power, and what it represented to have a white person in a close relationship with you. But to say he was an opportunist to come to the States, he didn't even stay. He left after he graduated from Harvard.
Well, he came to the States to go to Harvard.
No, he came to the States to go to the University of Hawaii. That's where he first came, and then he ended up getting accepted for his graduate studies at Harvard. He met Obama's mother at the University of Hawaii. And everybody keeps thinking that these white people are the ones who started calling him Barry. No, his father started calling himself Barry, because anybody who has an ethnic name knows white people can't pronounce ethnic names. My name ain't even
Barack,
my actual
Barack
birth name
Barry.
Ain't even
Barack Barry is the same as Siad Barry, who was the president of Somalia. Right
Ooh,
next
what?
Door. I say his
Barry,
Barry is similar to his Barry, Barack, I mean, so Barack name being transformed into a Barry by his father, the same, under the same context as Barry's in Somalia. Quote-unquote Siad Barry, who was a notorious president of Somalia during the Cold War.
Yeah, but his father started calling himself Barry back in the 1960s or late 50s.
Well, that's a common name over there, B-A-R-R-E.
He's, okay, I'm just trying to figure, I'm trying to find a link. So are you saying that him calling himself Barry was, all I'm saying is people put all this conspiracy, all these little pieces together and try to make something more than what it is. And sometimes it's not that. And when you try to make things very complicated, you miss the simplicity, you miss the message. And by making 2016 overly complicated, again, Republicans will miss the message. They can't seem to get it right. They figure we run a moderate. Yeah, I mean, moderates used to win. I mean, I'm sorry, Ted Cruz and Rand Paul are nowhere near a Ronald Reagan. I just can't see how their ideals fit with Reagan's policies when you really get into Reagan's policies.
Well, when you know, you have a huge number of people in this country who don't vote, that's eligible to vote. You had 16 million blacks go out and vote for Barack Obama, or vote for somebody. Well, you have to say 90-some-odd percent of them voted for Barack Obama, according to the stats. Whereas at the same time, in January of 2009 or 2010, I forget which one, you had just slightly under 12 million blacks with full-time jobs. So that means that 4, 8, 12, 16, 25% of your population is voting, and what do they got to show for it? Even the least thing to show for it, a job.
Okay, again, what does that have to do with whether or not a Democrat or Republican will win the 2016 election?
It's because they don't pay attention. Heck, under Republicans, you lack to experience less than 10% unemployment, more so than they have under Democrats.
So let me ask you something.
During periods.
The one thing that I've always learned, and the one thing that I've always understood is, I can show you better than I can tell you. And that's one thing black people respond to more. They're not going to respond to the Republican Party, who thinks absolutely nothing of them. They want you to come to them with their hat, with your hat in hand, and beg them to acknowledge you. That's not
well,
going to
happen.
Well,
that's not true.
That,
Republicans,
they tell you all the time, well, yeah, we don't give blacks the time of day because they don't acknowledge us. They want nothing to do with us. But you do nothing to say other than tax breaks that don't – tax credits that don't reach them immediately. That's not going to – that's nothing. That's not doing anything for them in their communities. Then you're talking about school choice, but when you're in the inner city in certain areas, school choice is public schools, private schools, or the charter schools. Charter schools are no different than the public schools, and I can't afford to send my child to a private school. But yet, the schools
school
out in
choice
Stuttgart,
is where school choice. I'm talking about full school choice, which includes vouchers, where black parents or any other parents, but we're talking about blacks, can send their child where they see fit, where they see the results.
That's not necessarily true, because if I live in a district, a poor district, and the district nearest to me is
you
rated
got people that would want to start excellent
to
schools.
District.
You got people that would want to start excellent schools, but they can't have their teachers on welfare and trying to teach there at the same time and draw whatever little.
Exactly.
So
but yet,
they need to have
black parents
who can pay it away.
How are you going to get teachers good paying salary and good benefits when that's all they argue against?
If you got vouchers where you can pay your tuition.
But that,
I've seen
is
these
that
schools.
Get teachers in the door? That's not going to get the
Pardon
teachers
me?
In the door. That's not going to get the good paying teachers, the teachers paying
teachers,
that you're going to pay a
you
teacher
do
$70.
You don't have to. Those are those what you call quote unquote teachers in Chicago wouldn't even be able to teach in some of these schools because they're not qualified. They just certified. Teachers have to be qualified. They don't need to be certified. I've seen some of the most excellent education going on amongst all black schools, and none of the teachers were certified. Some of them come out of industry where they use what it is that they're teaching every day in practical, hands-on applications in order to produce or manufacture or make things happen. Children learn. Surely you can't say children doing a trigonometry in the sixth grade. You don't see that in no public schools.
Depending on what school you're going to, the school district you're in, yes, you will see that.
I don't see that in no public school. Where? Just think about it. Why would, if you had any, I've seen any school where kindergarten was using college books. Why would they have it where a child can learn the stuff at sixth grade that they would be learning at ninth, 10th, and 11th grade?
Again, you did.
They don't do things like that in public school because then you get to the point where you can counsel some people, counsel them out.
My daughter was in fifth grade learning algebra, whereas in Youngstown, you don't learn algebra until eighth grade. She is in eighth grade doing basically Algebra 2 work. You don't get into Algebra 2 work in Youngstown until 10th grade. So, you know, and doing geometry in 8th grade. You don't get into geometry until 11th grade in Youngstown City Schools. So it depends on the school district you're going through and not going through. And I think that's where Common Core, the only thing I agree with Common Core is now they're setting standards for all these public school districts to be on the same par. One school district can't teach, can't be behind another school district. They should all be at the same level.
Well,
all the same
I disagree with it. I think a school district should be where the people that district is representing wants them to be. And that's the point. Americans themselves are
done. I disagree with that because living in Youngstown, you had a very good friend of mine, of my sister's, valedictorian of her high school. She got to college. It was nowhere near ready or at the same level
as those
college.
That's because the people in the Youngstown, in that school district, were not doing what it is that they're supposed to do.
Exactly.
They have been denied. They never. Nobody told them, say, look, what's the direction that this district goes in is your ultimate responsibility. It's not the board. It should be the board because you represent the board, but if you vote for a board and they don't do what you want, you have no way to cause repercussion to them immediately. You can't recall them. So parents today don't know their responsibility or even know that they have that type of authority over the direction in which their children are taught.
That's true, but still, learning should not be based on where you live. Each child should have equal opportunity and
no,
access.
No, it should be. That is so, equal opportunity.
No, it's not. Pianki?
It is.
When I moved to Boardman, the next school district over, I moved to a different city. My daughter actually tested in early into Youngstown City Schools. When I moved to Boardman to give her a better education, you know what they told me? We're going to have to retest her because we're finding out that the students coming from Youngstown are actually behind. Now, when they retest her,
that's because the parents in Youngstown Youngstown society is not doing what they want to do. You don't need to know. In the work that I do, my people do. They don't need to know any algebra. So why should they take it if that's the direction
you're
that
right.
they're going?
That's a decision of the student. But if you're going
no,
to go
it's
to
not
college,
a decision.
Hold on. That is
it's
a decision
not a
because yes, you can because you don't have to take algebra. You really don't.
I talked to a guy on the radio this morning. Every last one of his children was engineers or patent attorneys. He directed them into that area.
Okay, but
not
the fact
by their decision. He directed them.
Bianchi, again, the student has a say in their curriculum when it comes to high school. They get to pick their courses.
My
so they don't have to
didn't.
Take algebra if they don't want to take algebra. But when you get to high, when you get
course.
To college, hold on. When you get to college, you name one college, one university that does not have algebra as a prerequisite. I don't care what major you're going in. Algebra, English are going to be prerequisites.
You don't have to have a college education to get in my industry. Yeah, still you can earn $140,000
a year. But you have to have a college education to become an engineer.
No, I said that for my workers to be able to make $140,000 a year, they don't have to have a college education.
That's
they
fine.
Just need to be
I don't know what it is that the field of work that you're in. That's fine. That's fine. That works for some people.
That so that's what I'm saying. That. Parents should have the parents. It's a parent's responsibility, and state constitutions give parents that right. They just don't use it, or they don't know about it.
How many African American kids? How many African American children choose not to go off to college? I believe they're exercising that right. You're not forced to go off to college.
But,
you got three choices. You got four choices. You're going to be stuck where you at working a regular job. You go off to college, get education, and work in the field that you've gotten your degree in. You go off to the military, or you're successful at starting your own business.
No, I got plumbers, pipe fitters, iron workers, and so on that demand a very high salary, and they don't, they're trained. They don't go to college.
You're not
going to
make $140,000 a year being a plumber in a small city like Youngstown. You're going to make $60,000 to $80,000 a year, and that's doing pretty good because the average income, middle income, is about $25,000, $35,000.
Well, that's depending on the city that they're on. In some cities, the wage scale, Chicago, the wage scale for those trade unions are higher than they are in Mississippi, of course.
Are you saying that our children, our African American children,
see,
should
person,
aspire to become plumbers?
A person that's in the commercial trades can go any place in the 50 states and work.
Saying that's what our children should be aspiring to? Is become skilled laborers?
And yes, we need more skilled laborers.
So this is nothing but the pre-civil rights movement, pre-70s, 80s, all over again when all they did was all black people aspired to do was be servants. Servitude.
How do you figure this being
like
servitude?
But that's what sounded back then. That was the mindset. You
when
can't
my,
be anything
when my employees,
else,
listen,
anything
when my
higher.
Employees,
you can't be anything more, so you might as well just go into the one
do
thing.
You know any, do you know any college graduates that when they retire, they earn as much in retirement as they do when they grad when they was working?
I don't know any skilled laborer who does that either.
Yes, they do.
How is that?
With their pension and their annuities and their Social Security, they earn damn near 96% of what they was earning when they was working.
But that doesn't have to do with the field they're in. That deals with having good economic sense.
It's not economics. It's the way it's structured.
Talk about right when you
economic
structure
sense is the way you go about spending your money.
Well, when you talk about annuities, that sounds like something dealing with investment.
Annuity is just another big hunk of change that go along with it.
What type of annuity are you talking about?
Sometimes it may be $300,000 or $400,000 that they have sitting there waiting on when they get ready to retire.
From where?
Out of a particular trade.
But
the five basic trades, it's electricians, plumbers, carpenters, iron workers, electricians.
Somewhere.
Pardon me?
It has to be invested in something.
Well, it's the annuity is in the welfare, it's in the welfare benefit plan.
What welfare benefit plan? Are you
it's
saying
it's taken out of their check every? It's taken out of their check every week.
Okay, so they have a separate.
They have full medical that covers everything, unlimited. Always have had that.
But you know that's not everywhere you go. That's not cause...
No, it's not everywhere you go. But there still needs to be more blacks involved than that.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Like you're saying that our people need to focus more in. I'm not going
to
say
no,
that.
No, I'm saying that blacks need to focus more on controlling what it is their children are learning in the direction that they're going. You should not be letting your children decide that I want to do this, I want to do that. You start preparing your children into those areas that's going to be profitable, mm-hmm. high paying and high demand, and need it.
Yeah, but if someone is not passionate about it, they're not going to succeed. And if they get into it, and their star is only going to rise so far, because let's face it. You got to love what you're doing.
But who loves the work?
I know plenty of people who love their work.
Yeah, but people generally don't love the work.
I find it hard to believe people who hate jobs that they're in don't like work. But I find it hard to believe. I know plenty of people who are very passionate about what they do. It's people who don't want to do what they're doing don't like the work. And that's where lack of passion comes from. If you are not passionate about what you're doing, you are not going to last very long in what you're doing.
Yes, people out there working all the time that don't like what they're doing.
And that's
look
why
at the
they're
hamburger.
Stuck
look at the hamburger.
And they don't get too far.
Hamburger manufacturer.
And that's why they're stuck flipping burgers. Do you want?
Well, let me ask you a question
with,
then. Why come 20% of American doctors are Indian? Why come your Nigerians? Your Nigerians.
But most doctors are foreign in anyway.
Maybe so, but why come 20% of my Indians? Why come your Nigerians are pulling down your engineering, your medical?
Hold on, because
your engineering,
when you look,
medical.
When you look at the cost, when you look at how much a general practitioner makes in America, most Americans who go into the field of medicine are not really going, sometimes aren't really going into it for the greater good. You're going to choose a practice that's going to be the greater good.
But the Indians are.
But the Indians are going into it because they come from a different culture. They see lots of death and disease.
You have American-born Africans that's going into these, that's flocking toward these. You know, in Houston, they have the Nigerian American Association, I don't know what the rest of the acronym is, but they bring their children in and they have like an organization and different rooms and they are prerequisiting their children into these high-paying fields.
But the one thing that I noticed about when reading Dreams from My Father is that foreigners have a different mindset when it comes to learning.
I'm saying American-born Nigerians.
Well, their culture they're still rooted in that Nigerian African culture. They don't grow out of it.
American-born
Nigerians. That means they're usually second or third generation Nigerians. Learning is a luxury for them still in their mindset, in their heads. Learning, education is still a luxury. It's something that could not be afforded to them living on the continent of Africa. So
they're American citizens. So they don't have to go live on the continent of Africa. They could be afforded welfare and everything else.
Bianca, it's still the mindset of we didn't have it. It wasn't afforded to us, our ancestors. So it's something that we value.
No, I disagree. They don't know no more. Some of them have never even been there. But I'm saying
it's
that their parents...
The only culture that has not carried over is African Americans. But Africans, Irish,
I know
Italians,
a lot of African Americans who have carried their culture over. Look at those that formed the Council of Independent Black Institution, where all this heavy learning is going on. We're not talking about a handful of people. We're talking about thousands of people.
But don't say that
the culture have not been carried over.
True African culture. How do you have true African culture when you really don't even know exactly where you come from? You don't know what tribe you belong to.
They understand that they cannot leave it up to public facilities to educate their children.
I get what you're saying, but again, Americans who are born here, who lived here, who started out since the country was founded and carried on through generation to generation, African Americans who were brought here since slavery, carried on through generation to generation, we live here. We recognize ourselves as true Americans. We are similar. We have adapted American culture. Not any other culture from any other nation. We have adapted to American culture. We take for granted the things that other people see as a luxury.
Well, I disagree. My grandson went to school that they don't even celebrate holidays, American holidays. Thanksgiving, they was in school.
Again,
everybody else was out.
I'm generalizing. I can't speak for you, and I can't speak for you. I can speak for me, but I'm also generalizing. Americans in general do not value education like we once did. We do not value life.
I don't know about everybody, but I know about quite a few. As I said before, that when parents understand, when people understand that they have the power of choosing and demanding the direction that their children are educated.
Wait, when
then
you got babies
those
having babies,
have
you got babies having babies, and
that's those other blacks.
Themselves.
You know, all blacks ain't the same. You got the blacks, and you got those other blacks, and you got those that's objective black African Americans. That's another problem we have. We try to
Off. Oh, we black, but I ain't like you.
But it's true.
Why is it that white people don't think that way about their poor and their crazies and all that?
They do think that way.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
They do. We have an Italian community
you know,
here in this area that's called the Hill, and they disassociate themselves with a lot of others. So blacks have the same tendency.
A lot of white people.
They disassociate themselves with a lot of white people.
Hmm.
Well, Asians do it. Say they don't.
Maybe Illinois is just different.
I'm not in Illinois. I'm in Missouri.
Oh, that's right. I'm thinking
Missouri. And it goes on in other states, too. All black people, all quote-unquote black people, are not the same.
All people are not the same. We all have different personalities.
I'm talking about being more specific, as I said before. Like we always hear blacks say, well, blacks don't stick together. Well, they're not supposed to stick together. They're not the same. They don't look at things the same way.
But yet Koreans can, Mexicans can, Indians can, people who come from
Koreans
different countries
don't. That's why you got North and South Korea.
Every other nation that we have, every other ethnicity or nationality we have in this country, they tend to group together. Even Africans,
blacks group together. Blacks in general group together, but
African Americans do not group together. Africans group together. African Americans do not. The only way we're gonna group together is if we all live in the hood together.
Well, all Africans don't live together. Cause I see Africans come here and they live in amongst whites that black Americans don't do.
I'm not saying they live together. I said they tend to group together. And
well, they should. They have a common interest.
Generally, Somalians tend to form their own little communities. Nigerians and Ghanaese people normally don't. But I can tell you right now, Somalians group together.
Well, yeah, they are Muslims. They're more specific. Nigerians, a lot of them, some of them are Muslims, a lot of them are Christians. So they're more, they're specific in that particular recognition. But all blacks are not the same. You got these blacks and you got those blacks.
I have a friend from Sierra Leone, and he said Somalians are just, they're just different. So, I mean, when you look at it through ethnicities, nationalities, yeah, you can say we're not different, but to say that African Americans were not different than to say, yeah, I'm not like that person. Yeah, you
no,
ain't
I'm
like
saying, the I'm corner. Saying blacks are not the same. They are, there's differences between hell, they all was not brought from the same location on the continent.
Well, what do you mean by differences?
Because, I mean, differences. Alicia Keys don't consider herself as African-American. She considers herself as black.
Well, because
you got African-Americans who don't consider themselves as being black. That's a blame statement, but they're allowed to do that.
First off, Alicia Keys is mixed. She got a white mama. So.
No, Alicia Keys says she's black. Who am I to tell her what
she is? She identifies with being black. Okay, that's fine. It's a name. You don't want to say you're African-American. You want to say you're black.
That's
black
why
to
we
me
different.
Is the color of a crayon. That's
you got
why
some
don't
think they're Hebrew. They're different. You got some that go by the Bible. They different. So all blacks are not different.
Okay, Bianchi.
They're not the same.
All right. I get what you're saying now. I didn't say the same thing about white people. I mean, you got some whites who think they're Methodist. You got some whites, some who... white supremacist Aryan nation, they're not the same either. So people are not the same.
And they got a right to be so. Well, look, I'm getting ready to get off here. I got some work to do.
All right. It was nice chatting with you. Again, two days in a row, no arguing.
Yeah, Maze is gone. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.